last time on the Don and Mike Show.
You're the skunk lady, right?
Actually, I'm the president of the National Wild Foods Association.
What's it feel like to eat a skunk?
Well, I thought it was an adventure.
Do you ever eat beaver?
Yes, I have.
How do you like the taste of beaver?
Beaver is excellent.
When's the last time you ate beaver?
Quite some time ago.
So was there a lot of hair on that beaver?
No, huh?
No,
it was skinned by a professional.
Oh, shaved beaver.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show. For your chance at $500 for naming the secret song, only on the Don and Mike Show.
We're broadcasters. In our business, morals are one thing, but ratings are everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Return to our regularly scheduled program momentarily. Please stay tuned.
Hello! Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C., broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, you can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's right.
But turn your radio down.
What?
No who would you do call.
Oh, really?
No call to play the name game.
What?
No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town.
What?
And don't call telling jokes.
You're very good.
The Don and Mike Show.
We're broadcasters. In our business, morals are one thing, but ratings are everything.
Don and Mike Show. You can get it.
Oh, really?
Move to your left. Move to your right. The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find. The Don and Mike Show. On your radio.
What?
Get into it.
Call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, if you watch any of the football games this weekend, I know that you saw the signs in the end zone.
I know it's time for me.
Phil 316,
the one.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as the Son of God. I know him simply as Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Rob Spiewak!
Hey, what do you say, fans? Hi, Robbie.
You know, I'm no student of engineering, but here's what I figure.
What?
When you unplug the CD player, it doesn't work as well.
Right, you know, every day now, I mean, some people must think we're doing it as a bit when we play this. I mean, we're having technical difficulties, but that's real. Every day something else goes wrong in the studio.
Yeah.
Unplugged, huh?
Well, I know it'll make you feel better.
What?
Phil has sent over a glorious, delicious gift for you.
Really?
Yeah, it's a loaf of Ma Hochberg's homemade bread, and you're going to love it because it's made with IE. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Foul Bay and all the ships at sea. Hey, think of it as a lollipop. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show still coming to you via the auspices of, well, frankly, the laughing stock of the radio world, Westwood One Radio. It is a national broadcast, though. They've leased the satellite time, and we're glad to be with you with a brand new episode on Tuesday, January 16th. Phone number, same as it ever
was. Same as it ever was.
Oh. 877-365-3636. What can we say?
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world.
Won't you come on in?
Oh. that Dr. Martin Luther King would be offended at.
Miracles, I guess.
All of the ideals that Dr. King stood for on this show every day. They get twisted and turned.
Yes, absolutely.
Upside down. But I have it on good authority that if you were here,
leave your cares behind.
Martin Luther King would say, first, hope you enjoyed the day off.
Welcome to our world.
And more importantly, he's been to the mountaintop, and it's built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind.
I like the way you work that in there.
Built with you in mind.
Yeah, hey, how nice that Infinity Broadcasting has finally realized that it's the 21st century and that, in fact, Martin Luther King Day is a day off.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It is a holiday, so that's why we were not here yesterday. Glad to be with you today.
We are, certainly.
Oh, brother, we got tons of stuff to get to, but we have to start today's show with a big old-fashioned thank you to the people who make it happen every single time, the good people of Washington, D.C.
We talk about ratings a lot on this show. We talk about it, almost every month we'll mention something, but a couple of times a year we have real big days as far as the ratings are concerned,
Ooh.
And it's the real important time. This is one of those days.
Yeah, four times a year we get seasonal ratings.
Right, those are big days.
Yeah, we get the winter, the spring, the summer, and the fall, and frankly, the fall ratings, the most important ratings of the year, and once again,
you've done it.
Thank you. You know, we thank you for listening. We thank you for supporting the show. More importantly, we thank you for telling the ratings company that you listen to this show.
Yeah, because, I mean, we know how hard that is sometimes. We know how hard it is at cocktail parties, you know, when your friends are talking about their favorite symphony, and you say, I like Don and Mike.
It's hell for us. And we're Don and Mike. Imagine.
Yes, we're embarrassed about it.
You know, we're embarrassed when somebody figures out what we do for a living.
Right, right.
And we've got to say, we're the guys.
Sure. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I say, it's a living.
So listen, once again, you've made radio history.
Great.
We're the most listened to radio show in Washington, D.C. We're number one, 12-plus in our time slot with a 6.2 share. As a matter of fact, you've made us number one in 39 demographic categories.
Oh, that's fantastic.
In the Arbitron ratings book.
We are so happy about this.
You know, men 25-54, you've rewarded us with the perfect share, a 10 share.
Yay!
Men 18 to 49, an 11.8 share.
That's one, you know, you guys 18-49, you're with us all the time, and now you're bigger than ever. This is fantastic.
Men 18 to 44, another perfect 10 share.
Excellent.
I mean, this is really just a fantastic ratings book, and we can't thank you enough.
It really is the most important one of the year, and this it's just a good time for it.
Yeah, it comes at a perfect time.
Excellent. It truly.
What with there's been a mini game of chicken being played behind the scenes between me and Mike and some people who used to work at the station who now work at another station.
Yeah, and it's, they're doing their old game of talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Right, so this is fantastic news, and we want to thank you guys. We will, in fact, give back with our biggest ever Las Vegas-style show, the Thank You Las Vegas-style show, including Mike and I buying free drinks for everybody.
Yay!
I think the date is February 9th.
February.
We are working on the date right now, and we will be back with the vengeance with the Las Vegas-style shows. The first show of the new year will be for D.C., and we're going to make it as special as we possibly can.
Cool. Good.
I think that before we move on with the show, though, we should simply wait for Alan Linewand to come in with our gifts.
Yeah, we just should, just bide our time. Do some padding, I guess what are they getting the keys together? Is that what it is? What are they doing right now?
Remember how it's gone here. When we were number one in the spring ratings,
right,
they came in with all kinds of gifts.
Wonderful.
Then we were number one in the summer ratings.
Right.
And they came in and they said, well, the summer ratings don't really count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they didn't give us anything. Right,
because the advertisers don't pay a lot of attention to the summer ratings.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't have any insight, but my guess would be they don't want to present you your gift without a full tank of gas.
Ah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Gassing it off.
That's very exciting, yeah. Rob.
Just my thought.
Right. Absolutely right, Rob.
Are they matching motorcycles?
Weed whackers.
Are they matching Harleys?
Yeah. No, probably weed whackers. Well, listen, at this point, I would be happy to accept anything.
Sure.
From the management, from the,
Oh, look at this, Alan.
Look who's here.
Alan Linewand is
here
coming
we go.
Into this
All right.
Show. He looks like he's carrying something heavy. Is that heavy, Alan?
No, he's faking it being heavy.
All right, he's coming in with a couple of boxes.
He's got a couple of boxes.
This is very nice.
I don't see it. Doesn't seem to be a car.
Cheesecake.
No. And now he's
Hold on,
letting
what's
it
he
down.
Doing?
I want to see what the weight of that is.
He's setting the boxes down. I agree with you. I think
he's
that this
faking.
Is a... This is strictly
like totally lightweight boxes.
Strictly a show from
he
Alan.
He made it. Alan Limon, we should mention, has always been an accomplished mime.
All right, Alan. Well, I believe it's Christmas in January.
Fantastic.
That would be the case, guys.
Here is the general manager of WJFK.
The de facto general manager.
Alan Limon.
And that, come on.
You weren't saying that last week. But
that's right.
No, I did say it last week.
It's said with affection.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll assist you in a coup.
It is right. It is said with affection. So I know that you have some kind of boxes for us here.
That is true. We're ready for the presentation, Alan.
Yeah, why go through?
I don't know how many different ways we can say thank you for being number one.
I know Mike and I could think of a bunch of different ways.
Who is that grinning idiot in back of you, Alan?
That would be Jim McClure.
Oh, I didn't recognize him. Hi, Jim.
That's the acting program director,
Jim,
Mike.
Do you have anything you want
Good
to
acting.
Say? Jim McClure.
I like your glasses, Mike.
Thank you, Jim.
Appreciate it.
Well, Alan, we're waiting.
Basically, I want to thank you guys on behalf of the station for 39 different number one ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
The only thing I could ask for is 40.
Short that. Short
you.
That.
Yeah.
F you.
Short of that. Be careful. This is heavy.
Is it really heavy?
Yours might not be this
heavy. This isn't heavy at all.
No, this isn't heavy at all.
Hold on.
All right. That's for you.
All right.
Mike. Don, that's for you.
All right. Also equally.
We also have a presentation
heavy.
Here for Rob.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, now that's uncalled for.
Wonderful. Thank you, Alan.
I'll take it back.
That's totally uncalled
and
for.
And Charlie,
are you opening yours?
Not.
All right.
And Lisa.
Are you that is great.
Are you opening yours, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good sound.
Great. This does put the pressure on for next rating period.
Now, see there.
That's correct.
Well, hold on. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, don't lose it.
Oh,
you're tricky.
Don't lose it.
That's wonderful.
Don't lose it, guys. I'm going to be counting.
You're very tricky.
That's exciting.
What he's done is he's taken a bunch of different denomination bills.
Yeah, there's no need for that.
And what he's
done is... And you guys would like just large ones.
He has
that would be much too easy.
He has bundled them up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well...
Oh, hey, there's a good one. Hey, okay. I'm happy now.
One in every box.
Did you find the good one, too?
Yeah, I found that one. Yeah, I found the good one.
Gotcha.
That's good.
I do see an awful lot of these $1 bundles.
Look at that.
But that's okay, Alan. Thank you.
Alan, did you wrap these yourself, or did you have an underling do it?
We had a lot of help from Tammy.
Really? That's
absolutely
fantastic.
Well, thanks. That would be 100% help from Tammy.
That's great.
Oh, that's great.
That's terrific.
Well, you know, that's the way to our heart.
Oh, Alan, you shouldn't have.
What are you saying?
Of course he should have.
Alan, look at you with a big fistful.
And you should have doubled it, frankly.
Frankly, you should have doubled it.
Well, since you guys are so happy and you actually don't know how much is there, why don't I count it for you? I'll bring it back later on.
No, that's all right.
No,
I trust you.
I bet you there's...
I trust you.
One...
I think it's probably $20, $30 in there.
Two, three...
Well, let's play over and under, and if you're over, I get it back.
No, we'll just take it. We will gladly take it. Thank you. Because we'll say again, it's more of a gift than we ever received from Ken Stevens.
Yeah, and we like this new tradition. So if we continue to be number one, we'll continue to get gifts.
It's an incredible accomplishment, but you guys keep being incredible. So thank you.
And I'll tell you, right here in Washington, D.C., the media outlets have been calling. The phone has been ringing off the hook with people ready to do their feature stories on this show after years. A decade, more than a decade of consistent number one ratings. They just won't leave us alone.
Yeah, nobody gives a rat's ass.
Right.
I was asking Big Gum Jim if he went through and tracked, like, it's like 39 books in a row that our audience has rewarded us with number one ratings in the adult demos.
That's incredible. Great.
And, not a thing from anybody, but Alan, thank you.
Thank you, Alan Limewand.
Thank you for the fistful of dollars.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate that. We really do.
And well, actually, not a fistful. Thank you for the three fingers full of dollars. Thank you.
Keep it up. Very nice.
Keep it up. Yeah, that little cash crop will dry up if we slip.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, keep them coming.
All right. Well, very nice. Thank you, Alan. And I think that you and I, frankly, should do what we did before.
Mm-hmm. We should probably take the biggest bill and give it away.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Absolutely.
I mean, listen, where would we be without the people who listen to the show?
Amen.
So be the first and second caller right now. You got to live in D.C., though.
That's right.
Okay? And you'll win the $100 bills that Mike and I just won.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, Don, I got a question.
Hey, honey, where do you live?
In Burke.
Burke, Virginia?
Uh-huh.
Here you go, sweetie. You get my $100.
You are kidding.
No.
No, he just said it, and you get it.
No,
he's not
on.
Kidding. Your timing was perfect.
How could we possibly take this money, which incidentally is not a mountain of money, but, you know, the $100 bill is at the top of the mountain of money.
Nice. Right.
How could we take it and not share it with people?
You guys are the best.
No, you made it possible, so please, enjoy this. It's a crisp $100 bill, a brand new one, and it's for you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
All right.
Now, what's your name?
My name is Kim.
Okay, Kim. Now, did you call to say something mean before we gave you the money?
No, I love you guys. I was just called to ask you a question, actually.
Yeah.
How many years have you guys been doing strip trivia?
Oh, I don't know, 10 years.
I figured. I heard a best of some unmentionable person, and he was doing your same game.
Well, that's one that's been ripped off by lots of DJs.
Mm-hmm. But we encourage nudity on lots of other radio stations.
Well, listen, thank you for your support. Enjoy your $100. And hold on a second. All right, Mike, you ready to be Santa Claus?
I'm ready to be Santa Claus.
Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Hey, who's this?
This is Tanya.
Tanya, I got good news for you. I got two $5 bills with your name on it.
Oh, Mike, come on.
What's that? What?
Give her the $100.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a $20 bill for you.
Give her the $100.
You've just won $100.
Yay.
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. I listen to you guys every day.
Well, you know,
Thank you. Don said
we take the first two calls, and you are the winner of my $100 bill. There, I'm looking at Ben Franklin's picture right here.
And thank you, Mike.
Enjoy. You know,
you're welcome.
It wouldn't be right, really, if we come on the air and had this big party and Alan gave us, you know, some cash. Yeah, where are you calling from?
I'm actually driving to Lexington Park.
Oh, good, okay.
I live in D.C.
Wonderful. Right. Well, here it is.
That's the D.C. area. Don, make sure she gets that.
Thanks.
I sure will, Mike.
I sure will, Billy.
Let me give it to a more honest person. Rob?
Oh, I'll see you later.
Yeah, no, that's wrong guy for that.
He's out of here.
Well, of the three of us, he's the most honest in this room.
No, that's the guy we should have dealt out the
cash. Rob, go give the money to Buzz.
That's right, old man Burbank.
I'll see that it gets to the proper people.
Yeah, and Buzz, you get the address. And you send the
money
right,
out. I'll
okay?
do that.
All right. Hey, thank you for listening.
You guys are great. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting our show.
No problem. Bye.
It's a great day. And, you know, we only mention the ratings because, you know, as Mike mentioned, it won't get any play anywhere else in town.
It won't.
You never know that the show is number one. It's the highest rated radio show in Washington, D.C., not only in the beauty pageant and the 12 plus, all listeners 12 and above, but in 39 other super demographics. And we just mentioned it so that, you know, listen. You're supporting a winning show.
You know why we were successful today? Why Alan came in with this cash and we're celebrating number one ratings? You know why this happened?
Why?
You know I believe in karma. I believe that if you do something good or you have a good attitude towards somebody, it's going to come back.
Yeah.
You know what I did today?
What?
I took an envelope, brought it down to the mailbox, belated Christmas greetings to my letter carrier.
There you go.
I put a $50 bill in there, and
there
I said,
"You go."
My note said, "If this route is still being split by several people, divide it up accordingly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, happy belated holidays."
There you go.
Nice. I didn't do it for the trash guys though, but I can still hit them tomorrow morning. But I don't know how many there. I think there are three.
And now at least you know you'll be getting your mail for the year 2000.
Absolutely.
Well, that is really great news. And seriously, guys, thank you for supporting the show.
Yeah.
And the big thank you party will be on February 9th. I think that's the day. Buzz, what day of the week is February?
That's a Friday.
No, nope, then it's the 8th.
Okay, the 8th.
Feb 8th.
Thursday, February 8th.
Feb 8th.
8th, D.C.
That's when we're having a giant Las Vegas-style show, and Mike and I will start the evening off by buying everybody in attendance a drink.
That's fantastic.
Cool. Come on out, and thanks for listening, and for goodness sakes, don't stop listening in 2001.
No, we need all the support we can get, believe me, because they are wolves here. They are nipping at our heels. They are constantly just waiting for us to falter, so we need to keep up the pressure.
And you know, Alan notwithstanding, who I think we've already, you know, thrown our allegiance behind the, you know, the de facto general manager.
Here.
The call that I got today with the ratings information was from actually someone who should be in the Sixth Sense, someone who at this moment is dead to us, Jeremy Coleman.
Ah, Jeremy Coleman and called. How interesting.
And if you could hear the resignation in his voice.
Yes, how depressed he is.
As he called and he said, "Hi, it's Jeremy. I've got good news. You're number one again, 12 plus.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's the way he says it, too.
A little gerbil.
He was thrilled.
And then he wanted to go through the whole spiel about, you know, getting us back on NEW. Now, keep in mind that we'd already had meetings with Ken last week where we outlined, you know, a possible scenario for a return to WNEW in New York, but I don't think that's going to happen because Jeremy's involved.
No, they're already backpedaling. They're already doing there what they always do up there.
I don't think it's going to happen. So good luck to them. You know, they're out of our lives. Thank you guys.
Absolutely the greatest listeners in the free world.
For making this happen, and we promise we will continue on this station in this format for the next 2 years.
And thanks to everybody around the country, because I know that we thank the people that listen to give us these great ratings here in Washington, D.C., but it's the people around the country now that participate in this show and keep this show going, make it tick, the callers and everything else. So you're part of this, too, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, but you know, we never would have gotten syndicated if we hadn't had great success here and if the people hadn't continued to support us year after year here. So,
right.
You know,
absolutely.
We're slightly more loyal to the good people of Washington, D.C., and also, you know, if this other deal ever blows up, you know, at least we know we got our gigs here.
Yeah, we, you know, when you have that kind of a track record, it's wonderful to have. It's a good feeling when you're doing this for a living, and it almost sounds repetitive now to get on every ratings period and say thanks for the number one ratings. But we're still awestruck by it. We really are. We're still overwhelmed. I mean, I look at that and I'm amazed. I think it's fantastic.
And you know why we are? We are because, frankly, you know, I never forget. I was looking today at, my wife has got scrapbooks of all of the press clippings that I had before I worked with Mike and then after Mike and I hooked up together. And I was looking through that book today after I got the ratings, and there was one in there from, I think, 1986, from the douchebag who used to write for the Washington Post.
Jeffrey York.
And the headline was, "The Don and Mike Show, flat, seltzer water, without the fizzle."
Yeah, and it was, I remember it, it was something along the lines of an entire article talking about how we had been hot, but we were starting to lose our edge, and, you know, the death was near to come.
And it would never last.
Yeah. Right.
Now, keep in mind, that was
soon to come, I think.
14 years ago that guy was writing that stuff about us.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, I like it that way. I liked having this kind of success and not being the darlings of the media here in Washington.
The people that are
in that club. I got my, you get your little union pamphlet where they have all the information for the Washington local union of AFTRA.
Oh, you mean AFTRA? Sure.
Yeah, and they were talking about, they were talking about the Air Awards, and I went through the Air Awards and was just looking at that and looking at the people that are, you know, like honorary members of the AFTRA.
Well, those are all the guys who have to jerk themselves off because they can't get any real ratings, so they have to, you know, put their names into a talent contest where they are judged by other loser disc jockeys who can't get ratings. So listen, this, we've always said, you know, good or bad, and, you know, give us our props. When our ratings suck, we tell you.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember.
Yes, we do.
I don't know if you remember 3 or 4 years ago, but we had one ratings book where we went down to number 14 in the ratings.
I think we spent a whole show talking about it.
And we had buttons printed up that said, "Don and Mike Show, rated number 14. I mean, we've never BS'd you about that, which is why we're so appreciative of the fact that the show's number one. And thanks again. It means a lot, and it means a lot more behind the scenes with the pricks who run this company.
Absolutely.
It really does. Like, you know, we promised you last week we wouldn't get into that, and we're not going to get into that today, but suffice to say it was a good time,
yes,
for our show to be rated number one.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was a good time for the other shows on the station not to be rated number one.
Absolutely.
Okay? If you follow what I'm saying.
I get you.
Like, at this point, WJFK has got one show. One show that's doing it.
Right.
That's it.
It's this show, and we do thank you very much.
Congratulations.
So now that we've gotten that out of the way, now that we've J-O'd all over the place for the last half hour.
Yeah, thank you for allowing us to do that.
Yes, yes, and thank you for that also. Thank you. I'm sorry, Buzz. Today's one of the days that we're giddy and we're happy.
It is. It's a giddy good day.
I mean,
that'll seem like when we come back from a vacation, though. That won't last.
You know, it's
a couple of phone scans, that won't last.
It's one of those days. With Frankie, there's a lot of pressure. We only get the ratings four times a year.
Right.
And, you know, we know that if we have a bad ratings book, like we did 4 years ago,
right,
that it's the chance for every goddamn consultant and radio vice president in this company to call us in and do focus groups with us.
Yes.
And analyze what we're doing on the show. And
as long as we keep them up high, you don't have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah, they stay away from us. So, again, thank you very much. We do appreciate it. I know that both Mike and I had lots of stuff to tell you about from our weekends.
Yes, it was very weekendy.
Yeah, well, we had the extra day, and we both did tons of stuff. But before we even start the weekend stuff, my lunch with Dennis Murphy is coming.
Okay.
The lunch was scheduled today.
Didn't you have stitches out today?
Yeah, I had, finally, I'm done with all of that crap from my surgery a month ago.
Hey.
And all they did today was take a needle, and they just pulled out this, and you want to talk about an oogie looking piece of string.
They did it that way?
Yeah.
They just like threaded it through your whole scar?
Well, very carefully. It's not like they took it and just pulled all at once.
You were doing that motion. You were doing the motion that looks like the other way. It would go through the whole thing. How many stitches did you have?
There were 18 stitches left.
Stitches. Wow.
18 stitches left, and what they did was the doctor,
they cut them, they all do a little snap little thing or what?
No. Actually, yes. Yes and no. What he did was he snapped the little retainer things. Now, I couldn't tell. I'm on my stomach.
Right.
These stitches are on my back. But very gently, with a pair of tongs, he simply started pulling out the string. It was one string that they used to go from stitch to stitch to stitch to stitch.
Wow, that had to hurt a little bit.
And no, it really didn't.
How did he say the wound looked?
He said the wound looked fantastic. They brought a mirror over. They let me look at it. He gave me an A+ on my checkup. Said, you know, you're doing great. And then I said to him, can I smell the
attaboy,
the stitch? You know, this long piece of whatever kind of fiber it is.
Ah, the smell of fresh wound.
And I smelled it.
The rancid wound.
And it smelled bad.
Well, sure. It'd been in there a while.
Yeah, it'd been in there over a month.
But you healed up nicely?
Yeah, healed up good.
Beautiful.
Feel good.
So now you're ready to resume all normal activity, huh?
I am ready to. Oh yes, absolutely. I'm ready for that. Jesus, I'm ready for that.
Excellent.
I am so horny, and I'm also ready to go skiing. If you want to go skiing this weekend,
let's go skiing. I got to check with the familia. We've been traveling a lot lately, but I will double check, and I'd like to do that. I think we got to do that if it's not raining this weekend. We should try to get up there. I'd like to go Saturday if you wouldn't.
That's fine. I mean, there's no football on this weekend.
I know. This is the weekend to do it.
So I am wide open. But listen, before we get to the weekend and the rest of today's show, I am amazed that NBC is taking this move against Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
This, to me, is the biggest knee-jerk reaction that I've ever heard. That, you know, they're going to put Survivor on Thursday night against Friends.
Uh-huh.
And what NBC has decided to do is to make Friends 10 minutes longer. So they're going to put Friends on.
I love it.
From 8 o'clock until 8:40.
That is the sign of panic.
From 8:40 until 9 o'clock, they're going to have Saturday Night Live comedians get on and do live skits.
Right.
Based on whatever the news of the day is.
And we all know how scary good those are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't let this Bush-Gore thing, you know, fool anybody that Saturday Night Live has regained its edge. It doesn't exist.
Now, keep in mind that, you know, I'm certainly not a television programmer, although I think I could be one.
Oh, yeah.
If I was going to do this, here's how you do it. If people are going to miss any part of Survivor, they're going to miss the beginning part.
Mm-hmm.
The part you want to program against is the end part where they're going to vote people off the island.
Absolutely.
So how about
You put your dumb Saturday Night Live guys on from 8 to 8:20.
Sure.
Then you run Friends from 8:20 until 9 o'clock and make sure that you jam all the good stuff on Friends into the last 15 minutes of the show.
It is such viewer manipulation. It is such a scare tactic. I mean, they are obviously panicked thinking that, you know, they're not going to have a chance against Survivor.
Sure. Now, Mike, I know that you were worried about this, so let me just calm you down and tell you that the Friends cast will be paid extra money for their extra 10 minutes of work.
I am so relieved. That is so fantastic that they're doing that.
For these special four episodes in February, they've signed up Susan Sarandon.
Oh, I mean, excellent.
I can't think that, you know, she's going to be a big draw.
No.
But they have signed Jason Alexander, and something that I heard that's not in the newspaper today is that
I hate Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander is going to be playing George Costanza.
Oh, well, that's different then. I like George Costanza. I don't like Jason Alexander.
And George Costanza is suicidal.
Okay, that's good. So he's coming back. You know, he's pretty shrewd. You know, because Michael Richards gave it that the old college try.
Sure.
Kind of failed miserably. I think the smartest of all might be Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She really hasn't. She's been laying low completely since that show went off the air.
And Jerry.
And Jerry.
Who are these people?
Jerry's got more money than Jesus. He doesn't need to do anything. But I think that what Julia Louis-Dreyfus will be doing is watching and seeing how Jason Alexander does on Friends.
Who are these people? And frankly, I don't know if the people from NBC are listening or not, but my final recommendation would be, if you've got to do something like this, if you've got to do stunt programming,
right,
here's what you do. You run Friends for an extra 10 minutes, although I don't think that that's really going to make a lot of difference. From 8:40 until 9 o'clock, you just put one camera on Jennifer Aniston's left nipple and one camera on Jennifer Aniston's right nipple. That's all. You're running a test pattern.
And then you just, like, dissolve from nipple to nipple.
Yeah. I mean, you go in and you go out. I mean, and you start on it at first.
Should she be moving?
No, just stationary.
How about if she laughs?
Maybe in the second week, you get a side version.
Uh-huh.
The third week, you get her jogging. The fourth week.
That, Sherry. Yeah.
And what you do is, you start on it, you zoom in on the nipple, on the actual head of the nipple, so that you don't know if, like, if you're looking at a photograph of the moon or something.
Right.
And as the shot comes back, you say, wait a minute, this is not the moon. Wait a minute, hold on. Oh, my God. They've got a camera on each of Jennifer Aniston's nips.
You get more and more each week.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Obviously, bigger and bigger. And then the jogging, of course. You probably want to arrange that jogging for sweeps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, the whole thing...
next week, Jennifer Aniston jogs.
Their whole plan is to do this in February when the sweeps are on.
Right.
So the first week is just her nips. The second week would be the side view. The third week would be the jogging. And then the fourth week, self-manipulation.
Fantastic. Oh,
just with her hands rubbing over her breasts.
Can they show that on regular network TV?
Well, they could show it through a shirt.
Yeah?
You don't necessarily have to see Jennifer Aniston's nipples naked.
I'd like to see the thumb and forefinger, though.
Yeah, well, make it a PSA. She could be screening herself.
Oh, always gets back to medicine with you, Spiewak.
Always. Always on a medical level, of course.
You know, that just blows me away, though. That's a sign that NBC is just... put his head between his legs and said, oh, my God, what are we going to do?
It's so funny that, you know, I believe these networks are all cyclical. You have certain networks that you know, have their moment in the sun, that have their hot times. And when the other networks are trying to respond to it, it's hysterical. I mean, when it was must-see TV, all the other networks were throwing all sorts of crap at NBC, and they never could win. And now that, you know, CBS finally has Survivor, they're panicking, and they're not coming up with anything on their own. And they don't seem to understand that if they put the effort and the time into developing some original content,
they won't do it.
This is the best they came up with.
Sure. You know, and imagine, you got all those guys at NBC making tons of dough,
right,
sitting around in a big room, and finally someone says, how about we run Friends for 10 more minutes? You know, and they all clink their champagne glasses and say, boy, we've got it. You're going places, Zucker.
It's silly. It really is.
Zucker.
It's funny, though. It really is.
Yeah. So anyway, that's...
That's nuts. Yeah. And look at ABC. They've just given up. Whose line is it anyway?
Jesus Christ. Where is you that know, show going to go off the air?
Well, that's the reason.
So it's ruined improv comedy for me.
That's the reason I have it, though. Whenever another network is running something they don't think they can compete against.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think it's that show that did it. I think it was going down to Disney that ruined that when they came out and the guy said, because we're with the mouse, we can't say anything blue.
Well, whose line is it anyway is the Pat Doss of NBC.
You're going to be seeing a lot of it if there's an actor strike next fall.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
true.
So that's nuts. Jesus Christ, what a mess. And during the football games this weekend, they ran tons of promos, of course, for Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get to know the new people on Survivor.
I like all the old people.
And I went to SurvivorSucks.com, which was the website that gave lots of great information last year. Mm-hmm. And the one nugget that I found on SurvivorSucks.com is that one of the young guys who's on the show, I'm not sure which guy he is, if he's the computer programmer or the bartender, here's the deal.
You're already getting sucked in.
Well, no, listen, though.
Yeah, but the very fact that you just said that indicates to me that you are...
Wait till you hear the story, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
The bartender. You know who they are already.
The story about this dude is that his dad passed away.
Right.
He married his stepmom.
Yeah.
Wow.
You mean he married the woman that is married to his late dad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How could you not like that?
You're right. You can't argue with that.
And SurvivorSucks.com says this is not a fact that CBS is putting out in their press release.
Of course not.
But it's not.
How gross is that?
It's not a surprise to them. They did background checks. They knew this would come out eventually. Uh-huh. They're just not sure how people are going to react to it.
I will not think that the new Survivor takes place in the outback.
Right, right, right. Australia.
I won't think it's worth anything unless at least one person gets bitten by a poisonous snake. Isn't this Australia supposedly the most venomous snakes on the planet?
No.
Especially in that area. And you know, I watched The Crocodile Hunter. I want to see a snake bite.
I've heard a leak already that one of the so-called survivors almost dies in the series.
Okay, oh, so maybe it is a snake bite.
So you could get your wish.
Between this dude who married his mom...
That is... Now I'm hooked.
And someone who
they ought to
die.
You know something? They ought to pay you money. You know, because you get that word out. Do you know how many people you've hooked with that? Just with that taboo thing right now.
Anybody on CBS.
Anybody could go to SurvivorSucks.com.
Right.
You'd find the same information.
That's right.
They got a picture of the guy. They got a picture of his mom. She's pretty hot. Excuse me, his stepmom.
Right.
She's pretty hot for an older broad.
That is pretty amazing.
And he's like in his mid to late 20s.
So hey, Dad and Mike, what's up?
How old was Dad? So Dad was like married a young hottie?
50s.
I'm so broken up over your father's passing.
Come here, let me console you.
Kiss me. My evil mind, of course, has to think that maybe something was going on whilst they were all, you know, living happily.
Oh, yeah. Who knows?
Mommy, tuck me in.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, congratulations on the great ratings. I've been listening to you since back in the wave of days.
Thank you. We do appreciate that.
Hey, absolutely. I want to tell you, I was watching, like, Entertainment Tonight or something like that last night. Apparently, the woman who's on the show, she's a prison guard. She married her stepson. According to Entertainment, they had her on there and everything.
It's the prison guard?
Yeah, this woman who's a prison guard married her stepson, who also works with her at the prison after her husband died.
All right, well, then obviously I was mistaken. I was reading.
So, one of the women.
So many bios. Yeah,
this woman, and she's quite the handsome woman.
So the woman's husband dies, and she marries her stepson.
She looks like, I know the woman he's talking about. She looks like a female prison guard. I mean,
why is it more intriguing if it was the way you said it was? I don't know why. It's more intriguing to me if it was the hottie stepmom.
You know,
it might be the...
There's so many pictures on that site.
Either way, they're apparently not very happy about it getting out, though.
I don't doubt that this guy's got the facts right, because as usual, I just go to the site and I see...
Yeah, but you had the general thing.
You know, guy marries stepmom on Survivor.
Same exact thing. I mean, it's just the woman's...
All three of them apparently worked together in the prison for several years. He's like 34.
And they work in a prison?
Yeah, almost three of them.
Jesus. Now I'm watching now.
You know, that's better. That's better than the scenario I thought it was.
She's a prison guard and she married her stepson. Wow.
Jesus Christ, hello.
And, you know, I'd like to know the circumstances of the step of the dad's death.
Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Danielle.
Yes, hi, Danielle.
I just wanted to call and tell you guys, I heard you talking last week about the Survivor board game. And a friend of mine brings that over to our house a lot to play. And it leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah,
so it's not the B-O-A-R-D game, it's the B-O-R-E-D game.
Well, it can be. It can be.
I can't imagine anybody really sitting around and playing the Survivor board game.
Well, we gave it a shot because my friend's fiancé is a big fan of the show, and just like I was at the time. And
you play it naked like Richard Hatch?
No. But we did have all the bug bites on our legs, though, so that helped. Kind of added to the reality of the game.
You know, when are people going to learn about board games? And I blame Christmas.
And that's the middle of the winter.
Christmas time is when you get hit with all of the ads on TV for categories.
Right.
For what's the one where you stack the blocks up on top of each other?
Mousetrap.
No, not upwards. What's the one that you have to scream
Jenga.
Something? Yeah, Jenga.
Jenga, that's the one with... You know when they're playing that on SportsCenter? That's my
Kenny
favorite.
Kenny Mayne.
Kenny Mayne when he's playing it with Evander Holyfield. No, the guy Randall, John Randall, I think, from the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, and he screams at it.
Jenga! Jenga!
Well, the point is that they run these ads, and you see these ads, and you buy the gift for someone who you don't know what to buy for.
Right.
You say, oh, geez, Uncle Bill, what am I going to get Uncle Bill?
Right.
Well, I'll buy him, you know, the Survivor board game. And then you give it to poor goddamn Uncle Bill, and Uncle Bill pulls the thing out of the box, and you look at it one time, and then you never play it again.
No, you don't do it.
I mean, no board games, with the exception of...
the classics.
Monopoly.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe Scrabble is a good board game.
Trouble.
You know what we bought?
Chutes and Ladders.
With Pop-O-Matic. You know what we bought for Christmas was a Clue.
Oh, yeah.
Clue, the Simpsons edition of Clue.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really? And Mr. Burns in the kitchen with a candlestick?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, we played it once. And once you get over the novelty of the fact that it's Homer you're moving around the board, it's the same stupid show. We have to say, okay, then I think Mo Slezak killed Krusty the Clown using a piece of radioactive material.
They took the Monopoly to a real extent with Bibleopoly and all that, those crazy titles now.
Yeah, they've gone really over the top with Monopoly.
I think every major city in America has Monopoly, and I have Elvisopoly, which is pretty cool, where you go around and you buy all the rooms in Graceland.
And you loved it when you got it.
I do love it.
There you go.
All right, thank you.
I think, guys.
All right, see you later. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I heard earlier today that the husband from the stepmother, he was a police officer he was killed in the line of duty.
He said duty.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to have to do some research into this and find out all of the facts.
He was cleaning his gun and it accidentally went off.
All right, thank you, my friend. Thank you. All I know is that just makes Survivor so much... so much more watchable.
And now I'm picturing a woman that would look like the truck driver on the original Survivor. Remember that lady that dressed down?
Sue.
Yeah, I would think that the jail guard
would be... She's a skinnier-looking Sue.
Ah, good. Okay, that's good.
She has that crusted prison guard look about her.
Yeah, I married my stepson after my husband died.
Did you see the ad for Temptation Island?
I saw a promo.
Did you see what they're going to do tomorrow?
No, I didn't see that.
That they're going to make the guys sit in a room and watch tapes of their girlfriends making out with other guys.
Do you think it's true, though, like it was ruined for us last week, that nobody gets together? That none of the guys or gals do any cheating at all?
I still can't figure out the premise of Temptation Island. I was talking about it with some guys over the weekend.
The premise is go in front of the camera and pose.
Right. Yeah, because they were running the ads during the Giants game. And, you know, as much as I enjoyed watching the Giants, because it was just so freaking unbelievable that they were up 14-0 with 2 minutes gone, and then it was like 24-0, 31-0, 40-0.
Yeah, that game sucked.
You know, once it got to I know you're a big Giants fan.
I know,
it was exciting, but once it
was exciting for a blowout, it was fun to watch.
Once it got to the second half, though,
mm-hmm.
that's when the conversation started to move on to other topics.
Right,
and,
right.
And somebody said to me, what's the prize on Temptation Island? I said, I don't think there is a prize.
There are no winners.
And I said, well, why would people go on that show? I said, because, you know, they're tards.
They'd right. be on TV and a free vacation.
That's all.
That's all they want. You know, if you want a real Temptation Island, you don't have to have the pretty people, and it doesn't have to be sex. Put a huge fat guy and have like one of those time-lapse photography thing where the camera's on him, but you don't have to wait there and sit. And you don't give him any food, and you put something in front of him, like some incredible dessert item, you know, Ben and Jerry's ice, well, that would melt, or a nice cake, and you just have the camera on him. Really make him hungry, though. Like, make him go 2 or 3 days, you know, and without
eating. Don't you remember the show that they proposed from Germany where there was going to be all fat people,
right.
and that they were going to put them in a house where they were going to do exactly that, where they were going to have
fantastic.
Where they were going to have all of these foods right. at every single turn, and the
you
goal
put
was,
a bunch of fat people in a house and don't give them food, and you're going to see some fireworks.
And the goal was whoever lost the most amount of weight,
oh okay,
would win like $1 million.
See, but that takes too long. I mean, you don't make it a weight loss issue. You just
you're not going to believe this.
You make it an issue where. What if you put a bunch of fat people in a house, and I mean really super fat, people that needed their food, and you had secret-like little doors, almost a combination of Big Brother meets Let's Make a Deal. And you have, and you know, every now and then you have all the people walking around, and you would have a door go up, and there's a piece of pie. And they wouldn't know when the door was going to go up, but the person that was closest or the person that was fastest would get the piece of pie. And all of a sudden, you know, they'd just be talking, and then you hear this, beep, and the door goes up, and you see them scramble for the pie. Oh, fantastic. And of course, they'd have to eat it. They'd have to eat it within 10 seconds. So they'd shove it into their mouth as it was all falling down their chin.
Hello.
Oh, you give me
that's
time.
Mean.
You give me time. I could hone it and refine it.
That's mean.
What's mean?
That's terrible.
You just
it's
have
a great show, but oh my god.
Yeah. Well, listen. People would watch it.
I watch that before I watch this junk they have on now.
That's right.
You know what real show is on that I'm into, and I think tomorrow the producer's coming on. Junkyard Wars. Have you seen Junkyard Wars on TLC?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. Here's the premise. You get a bunch of these Yahoo macho guys.
Right.
And you put them in the middle of a junkyard, and you've got piles of crap everywhere, and you say to them, you have 30 minutes. Build a car. You have 30 minutes. Build a television set. You have 30 minutes. Build a tank that works.
Does it have to be working? They all
yes.
have to be working?
Yes, oh and they make stuff out of the junk.
What car works in a junkyard? That's why it's there.
No, listen, I've watched this show before, Junkyard Wars, and these guys build stuff out of the crap.
That's incredible.
And I got one for you.
All right, go.
I got Dennis Miller's F-word on Friday night. His F total.
Oh, okay. Now look, didn't we have a bet about this, about how many times he was going to say F?
Rob is disappointed. You know how Buzz gets scooped sometimes? You scooped Rob on this.
I think I might have a better breakdown than you, sir, but if you'd like to go ahead, that's fine.
Rob, that is so funny what Rob is being.
I had a breakdown. Okay. Well, he didn't get into it until about 2 minutes or so into his monologue.
Hold on. Mike and I had, what was our bet? I mean, it was not a big-time bet, but didn't we?
I don't think it was even a real, truly legitimate
bet.
You just
had guesses, and you went back and forth. I think Don guessed higher than Mike.
I think Don guessed 13 times, if I recall.
Oh! Hey. Who guessed 13?
I think Don did.
Okay. 6 during a monologue. 5 when he interviewed Rob Lowe.
Uh-huh.
And 2 on the big screen.
That's wrong. Go.
No, that's right. Oh, no, not this time, Robbie, baby. I got you.
All right, well, how about this? How about 5 referring to Clinton, 1 referring to Gore, 1 referring to Tommy Thompson, 1 referring to key Watergate figure Sam Ervin, 1 referring to Omaha Steaks, 1 referring to Winston Churchill, 1 referring to the pandas, and 3 generic makes 14
F's. No, Robbie.
Check the tape, friend.
You listen to that.
Were you drinking?
You got
a lot of times if you're drinking.
I can't write down who he's talking about. You know, I just got down the
so
word.
So you didn't tape it and double-check your work, what you're saying.
Like you did.
Exactly.
It's back on again tonight or tomorrow. I will.
Okay.
Good. And I'll accept your apology. There was also 1 D referring to the male primary sexual characteristic, 1 P referring to the female of the same,
time. One ass, one ass H, one BJ, one JO, and two S's.
You're good.
Yeah, that's right.
He had all year of Monday Night Football just storing that up.
Absolutely.
Waiting to spew his profanities.
Oh, well, he did a good job of it, but I'm going to definitely check this out. I think tonight or tomorrow.
Let me tell you something. Let me just say, Rob paid attention when he was in school, you see.
Don't bet against Rob. I'm looking at Rob's index card right now. Rob's got it down. I mean, he has got every profanity that was used in a different classification. He's got when he referred to BJs, exactly the tense that he was using, what he was talking about, what text he was talking about.
Is it a shorthand?
Yes.
Gosh.
Five F words for Clinton, one for Gore, one for Tommy Thompson, one F you at Omaha Steaks.
I mean, yeah, that I remember.
Omaha effing steaks.
How can you go past that? Rob is dedicated, sir. Thank you, though, for
have a great day.
Thank you for your service to our country.
All right, guys. Bye bye now.
Also, Rob Lowe didn't use any profanity, and one caller used the word BJ and S in the phrase Jackass.
Jackass. That's one of my favorites, Jackass.
Rob, that's a triumph. That's a guy that came into your house and you summarily kicked him right out.
I feel bad for him, but he'll try harder next time. He learned a lesson, and it was all worthwhile.
That doesn't mean Jackass.
He'll learn.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, you know, you're talking about all those contests. I'm telling you, the Japanese have been doing those for years. And they got the shows, you know, where they'll throw people over the weekend. You know, it's not like this whole, you know, where you got to watch for a whole season. Just for the weekend, they'll put people in a room.
I started thinking about Jackass when somebody said Jackass. Have you read the article about Johnny Knoxville and Jackass? I read the article where they're talking about the whole group. And they're talking about one of these guys that gets it from his father. And I forgot the guy's name, but he was talking about his father.
He gets sex from his father?
Well, it's pretty damn close. He was talking about how come you're like this? Why do you do this kind of stuff? And there's one guy on Jackass that apparently uses his dad a lot in the show, the big fat dad.
Right.
And he does this because his father used to play practical jokes on it. And one of the practical jokes sounded just a little hinky to me. They described it. They said when he was younger, like 7, 8, and 9 years old, the father would go in to the microwave and he would heat a hot dog for 10 seconds to just get it room temperature, kind of flesh temperature.
Yeah.
Then he would run the hot dog across his son's mouth and he would wake up. And when the son would wake up, the father would be zipping up his fly.
Oh my God. That is great.
I was laughing out loud.
Wasn't
proud, but I laughed out loud when I'm reading this. And my wife said, "What are you laughing at?" And I told her, and she was kind of like, "Oh, okay." Yeah. I mean, it's just like, so I guess it kind of runs in the family, you know. Imagine that's a dad dedicated to a practical joke, though. I'll tell you that right
now. That's a dad looking to get his ass kicked. Hey, listen, okay, what did you want? Because we got a break.
Okay, go ahead, man. Go break.
Oh, go break. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. I was trying to give him his time. He said go break.
I feel bad. I cut that guy off.
I'm sorry. I'm sure what you had to say was a better what he had to say.
Sure.
Let's clear the lines out now. Give you your first shot at winning $500 here with Secret Sound. Secret Song, excuse me. Number three, phone number 877-365-3636, be the 100th caller.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
At defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
How about this lame-ass analysis?
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
And Mike, you know how I fear change.
I know that.
But I'm willing to say, open it up past Goulet.
You're ready to go past Goulet?
Go into your repertoire, man.
You know how long I've been waiting for you to say that?
Go past.
Fantastic.
Mix it up.
Absolutely.
Wow us.
Fantastic.
Well, listen, before call 100. I don't know where Rob finds these stories.
Right.
But every day, when I get my copy of the newspaper, what Rob does is, he'll go through the paper and he'll highlight stuff that he thinks I'll be interested in reading.
Right.
Which is actually a great time saver, especially with a crappy newspaper like USA Today.
Amen.
So I know just the stuff that's interesting, like, you know, what movies did good at the box office and stuff like that. Well, right. Rob goes through a bunch of different papers every day and finds odd stories, and occasionally he'll take one of these little stories and he will tape it to the front page of my newspaper so I don't catch it the first time around.
Right.
Here's the headline. Circus shooter misses apple. Yeah. Pierces his wife's skull.
Oh, my God.
A circus performer trying to shoot an apple off his wife's head with a crossbow hit her under the eye instead, piercing her skull. She is hospitalized in serious condition.
Oh, dear.
The husband and wife team were performing in front of 5,000 spectators at the World Circus Festival in Paris.
Oh, God. He finds them, doesn't he?
How great is that?
As long as I've been living, the French have been f***ing us.
Oh, I have pierced her skull. Oh, no. You know what makes that so great is that that's like a little nugget. That's like a little bonus.
Right.
That I hadn't even thought about, because I glanced...
It wasn't a bonus for that lady.
Oh, it was a great bonus for me, though, because
that's right.
I'm glancing through the paper, and I'm thinking, boy, there's nothing but boring stuff in here. And I go through the second time, and then I notice, hey, look it. Look what Sneaky Pete has done. Circus shooter misses apple.
And obviously missed a, you know, it wasn't like a near miss.
No. Right.
You know, when you go from the top of the head to under the eye.
Pierce's skull right in the eye.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Maybe, hey, you know, they ought to check his motivation there.
You have hit me in the eye.
You know it was dangerous. You put the apple on your head. I'm a shaky. I'm a shaky. I'm also very much in love with the lady on the trapeze.
All those years, I never shaved my armpit there for you. And now you have shot this gigantic arrow into my eye.
And of course, oh, sacre bleu, you cannot die. You did not die, even after I peeled your skull. What can I do? I know. I will drive over you. I will drive over you with my SUV.
I will not die. And furthermore, I've told him in the hospital, no sponge baths.
Oh, you're such a lousy lady.
I do not want to be bathed.
Mon ami.
Do not shave my underarm hair or my pubic hair.
That is what you always do. You smile. You smile. That's why I stay away.
And I can be with the lady on the trapeze. Oh, yeah, we were Mac Love in the lion cage.
She smells, too.
They are all French. Of course they all smell.
Hello. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
I'm caller 100.
Yes, you are. Correctamundo. What's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa, where are you from?
Gaithersburg.
Lisa, caller 100, you've won tickets to WWF Raw is War.
Oh, my.
I hope you like the wrestling.
I honestly don't. But
okay. Well, then, Tufsky-esky. See over 40 of your favorite WWF superstars live at the MCI Center March 5th. You won these tickets before. You can go buy them. They go on sale Saturday noon through Ticketmaster.
Very good.
Now, are you ready to go for $500?
Yes, sir.
Here we go with secret song number 3. A top 10 hit from the last 20 years.
All right.
We'll play it for you now. You identify the song. We'll give you $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like someone.
Spastic Jumping Jerry Lewis.
Besides Robert Goulet. And we wish you
Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
There it is. All right, friend. I know you've been waiting. Finally, we break out of the Robert Goulet ball.
And the odds are in your favor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just wanted to kind of get that out of my system.
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting a while.
Oh, yeah, yes. For five bills, what's the song?
Jump by Van Halen.
Pretty goddamn good guess. Pretty goddamn wrong. An excellent guess, though.
Thank you.
You're getting closer. Thank you. And please don't forget that every guess is a clue for you. A clue for you. Is that supposed to be the...
Wait, no, that first one, that was the apple.
Wait a minute, hold on. The boys are in the sound effects library right now, trying to find the sound effect of the arrow.
I am now going to pull back the bow. I will shoot the apple. I will shoot the apple. I have hit you under the eye.
My eye. What? Sacre bleu.
Oh, man, I love it when we break out the sound effects records.
Oh, my God. And this is like the worst sound effects record ever. Mm-hmm. What the hell was that supposed to be?
Everything sounds like a handball court.
Oh, Jesus. These are all supposed to be arrow firing. Hey, Charlie, go to Short Bow Twang.
Bam.
Yeah, 17.
We don't have that disc.
We don't have that disc.
Can you go to Goose Harp Bounces?
No.
We don't have that either? Yeah, what do we have?
1,000 series.
Oh, 1,000 series. Oh, well, they all suck.
Yes, they do.
They're all shooting arrows. All right, give me another one of the shooting arrows. Let's hear what we got here.
Okay.
They all sound like really like they're done in a basketball court.
Yeah. These sound nothing like, I mean, shooting an arrow.
Reverb.
Shooting an arrow should be like.
Like Robin Hood. Remember when they follow the arrow?
Right.
Chunk, punk.
Right.
What else, Rob, what do you have? What, do you have a new one?
Rob's got it. Well, not a new one.
I mean, but do you have
another one of our typical garbage ones? This is the Machines of War, and it doesn't have it, but it does have bagpipes.
Put in the Machines of War, please.
All right.
Please, please, oh, please, oh, please. These are the moments that I really love my job.
All right.
The Machines. Stay tuned for the Machines of War.
Hey, you're going to be disappointed.
Well, I know. I know, but I love being disappointed.
And you're right. The true mark of a bad sound effects library, if it sounds bad, they put reverb on it.
Sure.
All right. They start off with what's supposed to be a great one. Sound of a nuclear explosion.
Oh, yes.
Okay. But it's not a nuclear explosion.
No, it's not a nuclear explosion.
And the fidelity is medium at best.
All right, how about the sounds of multiple explosions?
Okay.
Okay.
This you'll like.
As opposed to multiple orgasms.
Horrible edit.
Oh, here we go. Hold on. Comical ricochets.
Okay.
Hey. Why, you? Don't you dare hit me in the head. You know I'm not normal.
And now I'm going to shoot you with my cartoon gun.
Crazy!
Here's the ricochet. You can't hit me.
How you doing? Hey, don't be an
Oh! All right, how about some laser gun shots?
Hey, laser guns.
Ooh.
Luke, I am your father.
This is quite simple. This is. I hope you enjoyed it. If only $1,000 an eye, your vision will be 100% tomorrow morning.
That's awful.
Hey, it's the Steve Miller Band.
Jungle Love. How about an army truck idling?
Or a plane.
Put more reverb on it. Would you like to try some hilarious comical effects?
Yes.
Oh, would we?
Yes, load them up, Robbie.
Can't go wrong.
Okay. Hilarious comical effects.
Okay, I'd like to alert our listening audience. Get ready for laughs.
Okay, here we go.
Because these are hilarious comedy effects.
All right, I'm going to start with gross squirt.
Okay.
Here you go, everybody. Get ready for Slap Nuts Funny. How about a gross plop?
Okay.
Gross plop, everybody.
Ready to laugh.
These are not funny.
They're hilarious. By very definition, they're hilarious.
All right, this one just says, this is your brain on.
Okay.
So that maybe this is some kind of pre-recorded bit for disc jockeys to play.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, I had a rough weekend. This is the sound of my brain right now.
I am fried. Woo!
Okay. Zoo crew.
All right, how about...
hilarious.
Let me see. How about a baby burping?
Oh, okay.
Hey, you know, Rob and Carrie had a baby, beautiful Julie, and she's here in the studio right now. Hey, Rob, pass that baby over. Let me... Oh, what a nice baby. Oh, the little baby burped. That's hysterical.
Woo!
Woohoo! You know what, Mike, I am. After holding that baby, though, I'll tell you what I am. I'm tired. Oh, I gotta lay down on this bed.
Hey, man, what are you masturbating for?
Hey, you knocked that off. Get that out of your hand. I always masturbate when I...
It was supposed to be squeaky bed screen.
Hey.
Squeaky bed.
Hey, you stop that masturbating, man.
Squeaky bed springs.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, here you go. How about sex tub?
Oh, yeah.
The sex tub.
Sex tub. Oh, sex tub.
Yeah, sex tub.
Here we go.
Washing the shower.
Welcome to the Don and Mike sex tub.
We're all having sex.
Inviting everybody to come on into the sex tub. Water's a little dirty.
In the sex tub.
Kind of got some sex juices in there now.
This water tastes like sex.
It does indeed. We're just all naked and getting clean and having sex. This is a...
How do you possibly make this and put on the label that says sex tub?
Sex tub.
Hilarious.
Sex tub, yes. Yeah,
sex tub. New on NBC, right after right. Friends.
Hold on. How about a dog laughing?
Oh, I'd love to hear a dog laughing.
That's something you don't often hear.
Well, not at all. You've always believed the dog smile.
Yes, I do. Let's hear a dog laugh.
That is hysterical.
No. Hilarious.
Hilarious.
How about a minor bird laughing?
Okay.
Okay.
I like this.
Spare no expense on these sound effects.
Jesus.
Do you think that's a real minor bird, Buzz?
No, I don't. I think it's artificially produced somehow.
All right.
Okay, here you go, Mike. How about drunk men at a party?
Okay.
Here we go. We now take you inside the WJFK sales meeting.
Maybe it is back.
It is quite back.
All right, how about a bizarre ghost howl?
Oh, these suck.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
Bulletin.
I was all excited.
You just figured that out?
I was all excited at the beginning, and now it's like... That's the sound of Rob Spiewak having his first BM of the morning.
All right, now here's one that maybe we could use. It says monster growling.
All right.
We could use this for Tom Gavin, maybe. Maybe not.
Sounds like the sex. Could be the sex tub. Sex tub.
It's mislabeled.
All right, how about this one for when Charlie Broyhill comes in?
Okay.
Ape Man.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Gorilla Man. First it's Gorilla Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Broyhill. That's but now that we might have one here. That could be a keeper. Put it under, file it under Broyhill.
All right, hold on. Let me hear Ape Man. Because that was...
Gorilla Man.
You have Gorilla Man, Ape Man, and Monkey Man.
Okay.
All right, here's Ape Man. Okay, 72. Ape Man. These are awful.
All right. I kind of like the first one better.
Let's go to Monkey Man.
Okay.
Monkey Man. These are awful.
That sucks. Can I hear Gorilla Man again?
Yep.
Because that's the real Charles Broyhill.
Okay. Hold on a second.
It's more authentic. Charlie, how was your weekend?
How are you enjoying that Boston Market food today? I understand Wendy's was a little late with your order today. What? Oh, you couldn't get your Slurpee? Hey, I love the fact that you have on a striped shirt with pants that have checkerboards on them.
You know, I don't know who did that, but if that's a real human doing that, that's the first one that I enjoyed.
All right, let's go to Madman.
Okay.
He's mad.
It's Tim McWilliams, ladies and gentlemen.
The Madman.
Wow, that sucked.
Okay, how about Chicken Man?
Chicken Man.
Chicken Man.
Chicken Man in the sex tub.
Chicken Man, 70. Oh, no. First, Cowman. I'm sorry. Cowman.
Cowman.
That's awful.
We'd like to have just the ladies at the sales meeting today.
Let's go to Chicken Man.
Give a bagawk again. Thank you.
How about Attack of the Killer Mice?
Oh, fantastic. Oh, now you can have a lot of fun with this. Stop them.
84. Okay, Attack of the Killer Mice.
They're crawling all over me.
Get them off of me. You know what this is? No. This is the Stevens family reunion.
Who wants cheese?
That sucks, too.
Yeah. That was awful.
How about this one? How about Boing?
Okay. Oh, it's got to be good.
B-O-I-N-G exclamation point.
I sure am horny.
Boing.
You know, they just do everything in their power to make them suck.
Apparently.
They flip them at the beginning.
Slide whistle. Boy, I sure did lose my boner. Boy, look at that. Oh, look at Lisa. God damn, I'm getting a boner. Okay. Kazoo. No, kazoo.
Oh, okay.
K-A-Z-O.
I got excited there for
a second.
Not
the great kazoo.
The good kazoo. It's just no effort.
Pathetic. Psycho Piano.
Oh, fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, the stylings of Tim McWilliams.
Can you believe that's now that they shouldn't be able to get away with?
They're charging money.
That's the one that's going to get the letter.
All right, now here's one. Here's one that Jack Diamond was used all the time.
Yes, sir.
Rim shot.
Oh, sure. All right, little buddy.
Hey, Diamond.
So anyway, how come a woman is not allowed to wear a watch?
How come, Diamond?
Is there a clock on a stove?
Hey, good rim shot, Diamond. Even the rim shot sucks.
God damn.
You need a cymbal crash with a
rim shot. That is an awful. Oh, that's a harp.
Hello, you lost again.
All right, here's the xylophone Lone Ranger. What's that? Diddling, diddling,
diddling, diddling, diddling. I would think so. Diddling, diddling, diddling.
You know, that one might be good for.
It's time for news. News with Buzz.
You know, the harp could be good.
Like
you know how
it.
We use, since we've had the fight with Patricia Heaton, it's kind of tough to use the Everybody Loves Raymond, you know, scene changer. Yeah. The harp could be used, you know. Meanwhile, back in the producer's room.
The next morning.
God. Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, back in the producer's room. Charles Broyhill is upset. For you see, Don has come into the office and taken one of his bottles of Evian. Never mind that Charles has approximately 25 bottles of water underneath his desk. Let's listen and hear as Charlie Broyhill lets Don really have it. But Charlie, you got 25 bottles of water. I just took one bottle of water. Charlie! Charlie!
That's the one we label Broyhill.
Okay. How about an umpire saying, you're out?
Oh.
It'll be, you're out!
Right?
Oh, this sucks.
Totally broad.
I bet you probably just did it a million times better.
Yep. Okay.
Then it'll be on this CD. You're out! Okay, how about a woman comical crying?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Here we go. It sounds like Nell.
Sounds like a man.
Nell.
Jesus.
How about
Nell's better, though, and we have Nell.
How about children booing?
Okay.
Boys and girls, here's your clown. It's Charlie Broyhill.
It's Charlo. Charlo the Clowno.
I believe we've heard...
Have we exhausted the supply?
Well, hold on, we got Cartoon Kiss.
Okay.
Lisa, come here. Come here.
I know where you're going with this one.
Pull down your pants.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, how about Knucklehead? Yeah, Knucklehead.
Meanwhile, in Jeremy Coleman's office.
Coconuts? That's all it was for Knucklehead. How about licking?
Yeah.
30 seconds.
Here's Charlie Broyles eating his lunch.
God, these are awful.
They're horrible.
Stinks.
Is he licking a foot?
These are awful.
Hey.
How about upset stomach?
Okay.
Number 35. I mean, we think that these have so much potential when we read.
Well, the names have great potential.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I hate the most. It's just, you know, where they just crap out. They just want to put something on there.
All right, finally, man snoring during humorous dream.
Oh, God. Listen how old they are. Microphone's made of paper mache.
Hey, hold on. Maybe this one's good.
Okay.
Oh, no way.
You know, I don't know. I read the titles and I think...
Yeah, the titles get you excited.
I'm driving in my car. Hey, there's my friend Mike. Let me lay on the horn. I'm sorry, that was supposed to be a cow moo car horn.
Very disappointing. Extremely disappointing.
How about man burping?
Okay. Well, no, nobody can beat our burps.
Well, you know it won't be a real burp.
It was a real burp, but it sucked.
How about man blowing nose?
Okay.
There we go. Charles Broyhill. Man blowing very congested nose.
Ah, good.
So there should be a step up from what we just heard.
Oh. That made me laugh.
All right, one last one. Autopsy.
Ooh.
You know, who knows what this could be?
Sure. That's just the name, Autopsy?
Autopsy.
That's the saw. Cutting through the skull.
That's an awful autopsy sound. I don't think we're going to keep any of these, except maybe Gorilla.
Got to keep Gorilla for Broyhill. But it's got to be edited, you know? I mean, it really, don't you think, Rob? It's got to be edited because there are too many pauses.
No, you clean it up, Robbie.
Hi, Charlie, how was your weekend?
Hey, did you see those numbers? Damn, we had a good book today.
Hey, you should be happy about that. You said Don took your Evian?
Oh, come on, Charlie, don't be so upset. Eat your food with your hands the way you like to.
All right, you said about the big Super Bowl show coming up?
Why not? What? What is it? What is it? All right, okay. So they put onions on your Whopper. Sorry. Settle down, Charlie. Here, look at a Shania Twain picture.
There.
Okay. Well, listen, those blow.
Boy, those are all circa like 1950.
Those sound effects blow. And, no, Mike, they're the newest ones that we have.
They put a date on them, but they were recorded in the 50s, no matter what they put on them.
1998.
Yeah, those are 99. If any of those were recorded in 1998, I will do an Orson Welles.
101 digital sound effects.
Right.
Hilarious comedy effects.
Digital.
All of that because, no, I don't even want to hear anymore, Rob. All of that, just so we wanted to hear the sound of the arrow.
What was Rob reaching for?
Oh, he brought like 20 of them in here. I mean, really, we could spend the rest of the show listening to these awful CDs.
I know. That's why you direct us, so we continue our good ratings.
Not today.
We would all selfishly bring out the sound effects.
Not today, bye.
I know, no.
Not today, bye.
I just...
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
My sack doesn't work. My sack doesn't work.
Even better than sex and steak, it's Don and Mike.
All right. So we won't be going back on WNEW.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
It ain't that they don't want us.
Right.
It's they just can't make a fist up there.
We've got some pride,
and you know,
we'll let you know.
F them. God, they're pussies though.
Well, I knew I was so sure of this happening on Friday. I knew it was going to happen.
Ken and Jeremy are such pussies.
Of course they are. They're up there now. That's the way it works.
Right. Well, good. Let them align themselves with that radio station.
Absolutely.
You know what they forget is that a lot of the reason they got that job is because the success they had here.
Right.
And a lot of the success they had here was because of this show.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And we're just asking for the loyalty to be returned just a little bit.
Yeah, I think it has to involve others other than those two.
Right.
It's got to be done that way.
All right. Well, anyway, enough of that. We promised we wouldn't bitch about NEW, but going into the show today, we thought that there was a chance maybe that
situation might be resolved.
Right. Mm-hmm. That they'd work it out. I mean, they tell us that they want the show back on WNEW.
Right.
They tell us that we're important to the company, that it's a good company decision to go back on WNEW. Mm-hmm. And we had a couple of simple ground rules that we asked.
Yeah.
And they can't seem to have the balls.
No, they don't.
To get that stuff done.
No, I guarantee you that ain't happening.
Right.
No way. I knew that wasn't happening on Friday. I knew that. I knew the whole demeanor.
God, what pussies they are, though.
Yeah, they're the same way they always are.
What gigantic pussies they are.
They're always that.
Well, I'll tell you this, though, and I said this to Ken. When you need this show up there, and you're going to need this show in the next 6 months, we ain't going to be there for you.
Right.
You know, I'm tired of having this show be the show that someone's got in their back pocket in case something else goes wrong.
So basically all those meetings, you're basically lied to.
Oh, right to my face.
Yeah.
That's the pisser about it. I mean, maybe folks, you know, maybe you guys who have other types of jobs can relate to this.
Sure.
Where you sit down, you have a dispute with your manager looks you in the face and says, "You're right. I'm wrong. I'm going to handle this because what you're telling me is absolutely right."
Right.
But then he goes and he won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I imagine what he's doing, he's going to other people, and he's looking them in the eye, and he's saying, "You know what?
Exactly what he's doing.
You're right, and I'm wrong." Please. Hey, Ken, F you. You know, and the thing that pisses me off most about him is that it gets beyond business, man. I mean, Ken's had a tough time in his personal life recently with a death in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And even after all the crap we went through, I said to that son of a bitch, if you need any help at all with anything, because his wife was out of town who just canned his kid.
Right.
I said, if you need anything, you can call me anytime. And I'm there for you. And I meant it.
Yeah, and we were told, I remember I was saying that the situations would be resolved by today, and they weren't.
You know, nothing's resolved by today.
No, you knew that. You knew that when it was lunchtime up there.
Yeah, of course, yeah. When Ken... Jesus Christ. He's so predictable. He does things up there exactly like he did them down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes to lunch during the time when he should be dealing with problems so that by the time he gets back from lunch, all the parties involved are doing their shows so that he doesn't have to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, listen, it's real freaking simple. I don't care who knows this. You know, when we quit on WNEW last week, I promise I'll keep this brief. I promise that we will move right on. When we quit on WNEW last week, our bitch is that Opie and Anthony took a tape of our show that they did not have permission to play, and they played it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
That's our bitch. It's just like when you watch a baseball game, you know, The express written consent of Major League Baseball, you can't reproduce it.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's a fact. That's the law.
Ken said he'd resolve this situation. There's no indication that he's doing it.
And you know what we asked for?
What?
You know what our big demand was?
What?
That they apologize. Mm-hmm. That Opie and Anthony say, "Hey, we're sorry we played that tape. It was wrong to play the tape." How tough would it be to say that, even if they didn't mean it?
You know? Lord knows we've apologized many times on this show when we didn't mean it.
Yes. They ask us to apologize all the goddamn time. To people who sue us, to clients that are mad, to somebody who writes a goddamn letter. And you know what we do? We go, okay, Because we don't really mean it. Like, come on, go, hey, you know, we're sorry. If we offended you, we're sorry.
Right.
And then you move on. But the problem is that they don't have the balls to ask these guys to apologize. So, you know, F it. That's all we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going through our lawyers. We're not suing Opie and Anthony. We're not suing WNEW. We're not suing Infinity Broadcasting.
Right.
Although we could, because they played a tape of the show without our permission when we were not employees of that radio station. All we asked for is an apology. Is that too much to ask for?
Well, in the case of the powers that be up there, and this is, you know, it's a situation where if we're going to come back on in New York, you know, we want our credibility back on this. And, you know, it's just there's certain things that are unacceptable for us to come back up there. And
listen, Opie and Anthony, I'm sure you're getting this on the satellite right now. You should know Ken looked me in the eye last Thursday and told me you guys were 100% wrong to play that tape. 100% wrong. No argument at all. You guys were in the wrong. At the very least you could do is apologize. That's what he looked me in the eye and said. Said, that's it? That's all you guys want is an apology? Well, that should be pretty simple to work out.
Absolutely.
You know, and then they go up there today and they sit down and no one has the balls to say anything. And then Charlie just came in during the break and said, well, they won't apologize. So fine. You made that bed, Ken. Go ahead and lay with it. You know, forget the guys who have been loyal to you for 10 years, getting your ratings for 10 years. Stick with the guys who've given you two good books.
Sure.
That's okay. You ride that magic carpet. But if that show blows up, don't come call us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we won't do it.
Well, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
We trusted when we shouldn't trust.
Yeah. We believed
Ken. We should know better.
We believed Ken. You know, and if Ken thought that we were out of line to ask for an apology or that we were wrong to be upset that the law was broken and a tape was played, why couldn't he have looked us in the eye and said, hey, you know what, you're off base on this?
No, and it speaks to the larger issue. Because, the whole thing with those two guys doesn't bother us nearly as much as the attitude of management up there. That's what started this whole thing.
You know,
where they just, they give us lip service. It's absolutely clear to me now that our rap within this company is that we can be placated by lip service. That they can placate us by just giving us happy talk. And it's crap.
Yeah.
And that's the way they believe it. We're right back, you know, to be honest with you, we're right back in that situation where we started from.
Yeah, right. So, you know, we got 2 years left on our contract, and we love our jobs, and we'll do a good job. But I promise you, in 2 years, and Ken and Jeremy, you should think about how quick 2 years is.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 years, we'll take this little show, we'll move it right across the street. Right across the street, and we'll do the same thing to this place that we did to WAVA. We had the pleasure of watching WAVA self-implode without our show.
Absolutely.
To where they had to sell the station below market value,
mm-hmm.
and it went religious.
That's right.
Please. You think WJFK is going to make it without our show? Not a chance.
Yeah, this is truly, truly amazing. I, after last week, I just can't believe it.
And, you know, again, last time, and I promise I'll drop this, these guys on NEW play the tape of this show without permission. That's the law. We've been sued for doing stuff like that. You can't broadcast someone's voice without their permission. We know it because we've gotten in trouble a million times for this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the hypocrisy. That we're not suing. We're not looking for damages. We're not looking to make any trouble. We said, you want us back on NEW? Which they do. Great. Just ask those guys to apologize. How tough is that?
Obviously very tough.
Right. Because their S doesn't stink. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, we can deal with that.
That's fine. All you're doing right now, Ken, all you're doing is just telling me exactly how you feel about everything.
Yeah, I think it's clear. I think it's pretty clear.
And forget what I said. And drop dead. If you ever need any help, I don't care if you're a neighbor. I don't care if your house is burning. Don't come to me for a glass of water.
To put on the fire.
Yeah. I mean, you understand? We had all this crap going on with him, but underneath the scenes, under all of that,
mm-hmm.
I made the mistake of thinking that still there was some kind of a bond between us and Ken.
Mm-hmm.
you know, some kind of a personal bond. We said, listen, all business aside, you know, if you need anything, you can call me. And God damn it, I meant it. And that's how that type of personal loyalty is rewarded.
Now, the loyalty goes as far as the office door.
Yeah.
Whoever's sitting in the chair across from the desk.
Because I guess he was just flat out lying to me last Thursday. When he looked at all the facts and he said, gee, I can see why you're upset. You guys are absolutely right. They were wrong to play that tape. What do you need to make it right? And that was our outrageous demand.
Mm-hmm.
An apology.
Yeah, we basically said, we'll come back on. It was a throwaway request.
Right.
It was a throwaway request that really means very little to us until it can't be done.
Right.
And then it becomes an issue. And that's just the way it is.
And that's the whole story about what's going on at WNEW.
Mm.
And if you knew the hours I wasted talking to these morons last week about this situation. You know, and Jeremy Coleman, F you. I mean it, you little prick. Call me up today. Is there anything I can do to get the Don and Mike show back?
Yeah.
We really need the Don and Mike show back on NEW.
That's how they do it. That's it.
Well, really, you know what you're going
to do? They don't want to do anything. You know what they don't want to do? They don't want to manage their radio station. They don't want to manage. They really don't want to get involved. They just want to sit on their hands and let stuff happen. And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
And this is why we got to find a new radio home. This is why in 2 years, we got to go to Clear Channel or we got to go to ABC. Because the rap we have in this company is that we will do what they ask us to, but nobody else does.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
You know? I mean, I can't tell you how many behind-the-scenes times they've said to us, hey, you know, please back off this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you're going into uncharted waters here. And you know what we always say? Okay.
Yeah, we do, because we think it's good business.
Okay.
But I guess, you know, those rules don't apply anymore in this company.
No.
I guess that's the way it is. Fine.
F them.
Say what,
you guys made your decision. You know, and now it's our final decision. Our show's not going back on WNEW.
Yeah, I mean, you were told that the situation was going to be corrected today.
Today.
The things were going to be resolved today.
And Ken Stevens, the bold-faced liar, looked me in the eye and said, you're right, that is not an outrageous request. I will handle it. I will handle it. Please. You did a great job of handling it. A really great job.
Yeah. Happy ratings day.
Oh, well, he doesn't care anymore. He's not aligned with us anymore.
He doesn't at all.
He cares about his news station. And you know what? That's fine. We should have known that from day one. You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. 2 years is a very short amount of time, Ken. 2 years. You know, I was thinking about it on Sunday. I was watching the Giants game. And I thought, gee, it's only 2 years ago since the Falcons beat the Vikings in that famous game where they upset them with a field goal in overtime.
That's right.
I thought, gee, if you think back to then, if you think the Vikings lose to the Falcons, and you clap your hands, and all of a sudden the Vikings lose to the Giants, that doesn't seem like that long, that 2 years have passed.
No, it's a blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm. It seems pretty quick.
The blink of an eye.
So you know what that means, Ken? You know these ratings you got today? You'll have us for 8 more ratings books. That's 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
8 more times you'll get number one ratings. And then we'll walk out the friggin' door. And we'll go right across the street. Right across the street.
It's amazing. I'm not amazed. This is what I expected. This is what I knew the tone was changing when I saw him. When I saw him on Friday, I knew that it wasn't as serious as it had been communicated to you.
Yeah. The guy's just a liar. Ken Stevens is just a bold-faced liar. And so is Jeremy Coleman. And they got no balls. They got no problem telling us, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But we're the only guys in the company, you know, and it's our own fault for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's our own fault for playing along.
Yeah, I think that another company would probably be happy to have guys that, you know, that make good business decisions.
I think so.
Hey, Bennett Zier, I know you're a big fan of the show. I know you're a prick, too, but I don't care. All general managers are pricks. How'd you like to slide the Don and Mike show onto one of your radio stations? Even better. How'd you like to slide us in the morning drive?
Who's on the hotline?
Can't be anybody important. Hello?
It is somebody important.
Well, you know what I meant. Somebody like from the station.
Sugar Bear, you promised you wouldn't talk about it anymore.
I know.
All right, let it go.
I know.
Be happy. I am. Your ratings are good here. It's a happy day.
I'm just pissed that he lied to my face again.
I know. We'll get over it and entertain me. I'm driving carpool. I'm tired of hearing about it.
But you know what, honey? Okay.
Thank you.
You're right.
All right.
Goodbye. Yeah, we did.
We
saw last week.
You're right. Sorry. Love you. God, I hate telling that woman she's right. I really do.
I know. Yeah, we did run this into the ground.
Right. Enough. Yeah. We said we need to say sorry about that.
Yeah, we made it clear.
Sorry about that.
We'll keep everybody posted. We'll let you know the continuing saga and let everybody know what's going on.
Good.
But right now, not looking good. Just like it didn't look good last week. And I think we made it clear all the way along that we're not optimistic.
You know, and the facts are as such that we quit from that station. They want us back. We said you guys broke the law.
They don't seem to give us any indication that they really want us back, though.
No.
We don't seem, it's just like we said, within the company, we don't seem to really rate. That's the perception. That's why we walked off. We feel as though we're the ones that, that really within this company that deliver the goods, but there doesn't seem to be an acknowledgement. You know, everybody's real happy here at WJFK when we pull these great ratings. But outside of that situation, it just seems to be, hey, c'est la vie.
We're nothing.
So, and then when we do get pissed off about that, when we do feel like we're being slighted, it's kind of like lip service, and then things go back, and they hope that it'll go away. I don't think we should let it go away.
No, oh, we won't. You know,
we
don't forget.
Right, exactly.
We don't forget. They got us for 8 more ratings books.
Mm-hmm.
8 more books of excellent ratings thanks to our great listeners. And then we'll say to our great listeners, hey, guess what? We're moving down the dial again. Why don't you bring those 8 great books with you down the dial?
Down the dial.
Put us on some crappy FM station. We love a nice worst of first.
Absolutely.
We sure do.
Fantastic.
All right, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Well, listen, as long as I'm mad, I'm going to stay mad, but I'm going to change the topic for a minute.
Okay, very good.
And I just want to tell you something very briefly. Why I love Charlie Stossel.
Mm-hmm.
Our movie man.
Oh, yes.
I love
him. He's happy to be in this time slot.
Well,
he's happy that you're talking about him now. That's
I was going to talk about him anyway today.
I know.
You know, one of the things I did over the weekend was my son and I went to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I don't get about Charlie Stossel. With the 8,000 movies that are out there that he reviews for us every week,
right.
How is it that he's never mentioned the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, with George Clooney, a movie that was put together by the Coen brothers, the guys who did Fargo.
Now, did this movie get good reviews from other critics?
I told you when I looked at the poster when I was leaving the theater.
Right.
It has, like, Roger Ebert.
It didn't have Joel Siegel on it.
No. All real critics. One of the year's 10 best films.
Mm-hmm.
A classic. Well, the point is,
did he even review it?
No. He never mentioned it one time.
Does it have any animated characters in it?
No, it doesn't.
All right.
Charlie Stossel never mentioned this movie one time on this show, and he comes on this show to review movies. Now, we bust his balls, and we read jail mail, and
right.
We talk about how, the BJ stuff from last week. But a part of Charlie Stossel is the fact that he's supposed to review movies.
Didn't he talk about this? I'm trying to think now. I was talking to you about this in the office. I'm thinking, didn't he say something like Raising Arizona or something like that? Did I see that on another review?
I never remember Charlie Stossel.
We looked to Rob.
Reviewing.
We looked to Rob who memorized
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
If he did, I think he mentioned it was in limited release, which I believe it still is.
Right.
But I don't think he did an in-depth review of it. I don't think so.
Listen, it ain't that limited. Because yesterday there was a show at noon, 5, 7, 9, and 11 at the Reston Town Center.
You loved it, though, right?
Yes.
Mm,
I loved it.
And the Coen brothers are the guys that gave us Fargo.
And the movie's totally different from Fargo.
Is it different from Raising Arizona?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's loosely based on The Odyssey by Homer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is another fact that's never been publicized.
Right. No, not that Homer.
No, not that Homer. A different Homer. And the movie's funny.
Right.
And the movie's not funny like when you're watching it, you go, oh, my God, you're laughing out loud. It's not until you leave the theater that you go, Jesus, some of that stuff was pretty funny. And Bart and I were repeating lines back and forth the whole time. And at one point I said to him,
Did Charlie Stossel ever say anything about this movie? And he says, no. And that's my question. Listen, out of all the movies that are out there, out of all the crap movies that are out there, I'm telling you, I'm a guy that doesn't like a lot of highbrow stuff. I consider this to be not a slapstick movie.
Right.
This is not like there's something about Mary.
No crazy shootouts?
No, no crazy shootouts. But Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is one of the 15 best movies I've ever seen.
Ever seen ever?
Ever seen ever.
Wow.
I put it on the top 15 list.
And you like Clooney.
I like Clooney, but
Clooney.
But there's so much to the movie than just Clooney.
Right.
I mean, it's got John Tarantino in it. It's got John Goodman in it.
John Turturro, right.
Yes, thank you. It's got, Quentin Tarantino. It's got, he's not in it. It's got Holly Hunter.
So you like this movie.
Yeah, and as I was walking out of the theater, I thought, well, how come we've never discussed this movie on the show?
This is on the heels of, Stossel making a couple of bad calls.
And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. If somebody wants to call and tell me that he's reviewed this movie, please enlighten me. Because I generally remember...
If he did review it, I don't remember whether he said it was good or bad. I don't think... If he reviewed it and gave it a rave, we'd remember it.
I'm telling you, the movie kicks ass.
Really?
The movie is really good.
And it is... Can you see it in all in every theater?
Well, okay, now here's the thing. When he's if it's in limited release, if a movie's at the Reston Town Center...
You would think that it would be kind of like...
I would
that's
think...
The, you know, that's the movie that has run every Adam Sandler movie known to mankind.
Yeah, Reston Town Center is lowest common denominator.
Right.
If the movie's there...
And isn't that funny how you judge certain theaters, you know? I always know, especially when I used to, you know, live back in Annapolis, we used to have the theaters that would run all the idiot movies. You know, you would never get the quality movies, as you say, the highbrow movies, but you would get every single idiot movie. And sometimes you want to see the limited release movies, well, and you wouldn't see them at certain theaters.
At Reston Town Center, they run everything.
Right.
I mean, the choices that we had were all the movies that were out right now. Finding Forrester, the
Finding Forrester.
You know, the Flashdance rip-off movie, Castaway. Right. I mean, What Women Want.
Right.
They were all there. Chocolat was playing there, mm-hmm. along with Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I'd like to see it.
And I'm telling you, I'm giving that movie a rave. That is one great friggin' movie.
You know, there is a popular school of thought that says unless you send Charlie Stossel the T-shirt, right. he's not going to say things about your movie.
Now, I wish I had positive things to say about another part of my weekend.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh.
About Best Buy.
Uh-uh.
I wish I could tell you something good about my Best Buy experience.
Okay. Do you go to the one? Which one do you go to?
Reston Town Center.
Oh, God. Talk about crowds.
The same. Well, listen. It's crowded everywhere.
It's crowded everywhere we live.
Mm-hmm. It's crowded.
So this whole area is crowded.
Yep. Hold on. Time out. You know what? Afraid it was right. We wasted too much time bitching about Ken and Jeremy.
Abbott's fun sometimes. You know, we have to vent that steam.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And, otherwise, you know, we'll do what we did last week.
And we got the true story out there. Now we can move past it. And when we come back, I just want to tell you why I'm organizing today on the show a grassroots movement for a massive takeover of Best Buy stores. That it starts at the top with management,
right?
But it's got to trickle all the way down to every individual snot-nosed, pimple-faced kid.
Every mouth-breathing dullard that you dealt with
this
weekend.
That's working in Best Buy. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Stacy, I like to say to all the sales guys and our sales staff, you're a bunch of faggots. You're faggots, a bunch of pussies.
Anyone in particular?
Must I name names? Yeah. You know who you are. Know who you are.
Name the old guys by name because we don't know their names.
I'm gonna call you Alan. You're a pussy. Oh. Steve, pussy.
There you go.
Goldstein, Johnson, pussy.
Isn't there a Pat?
Ivan, pussy. Pat, an old pussy.
Oh.
John, forget about it. You suck. Faggots, you pussy. All of you.
Paul Gorgi.
He's a handsome, stunning faggot.
The password is Jizz. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, I want to give you a perfect example of exactly what Mike and I were yelling about.
Sure.
About 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
We get done with that break. You know, I allude to the fact that I had a less than fantastic experience at Best Buy. Not out to slander the company.
No.
Just out to tell you about my experience there.
You're talking about your experience with a particular dullard.
Well, a series of dullards. And Charlie Brinkle comes in the commercials and says, I've been asked to point out that Best Buy sponsors your show, that they don't sponsor anything else except they sponsor your show. Now, in the past, I would have taken that information and would have come back and I would have said, hey, you know what, it's really not a big deal. And the fact of the matter is, it's really not a big deal.
Right.
If anything, I'm saying I'm loyal to Best Buy because they advertise on the show and I went there because they have good prices.
Right.
But, hey, listen, guys, the days of you guys coming in here and telling us what's best for the company, those days are over.
Amen.
Okay? I mean, I wasn't raped at Best Buy.
No.
Okay? My car wasn't stolen at Best Buy.
Right.
When I left Best Buy, my butt wasn't bleeding.
You aren't drinking a cranberry juice.
No. I just want to tell you what happened at Best Buy, because it was goddamn frustrating.
Okay.
Here's the deal.
What were you going to get?
Okay. This is what's really a pisser. We were going to get cords. That's all.
Extension cords?
No, some kind of AV cords.
All right, like cords for maybe like going from one thing to another?
Yes, cords for Bart's PlayStation game.
All right.
We needed cords. We needed longer cords to go.
Cords.
To go from the PlayStation to the television.
Rubber, plastic, cords. Not cords of wood.
No. We needed cords.
Cables.
Cables. Thank you, buddy.
Monster cables.
Cables. So, we go into the Best Buy.
You like that product?
And what, a cords of wood?
No, monster cables.
It is like...
It's a brand name.
It's a freaking zoo. And we know that. It's, you know, it's the wrong time to go there.
You didn't go on Saturday, did you?
Of course.
Oh, well.
Late on Saturday. But still, we go in, we see the cords, the cables. We get them, and then we start walking around a little bit. And at this point, I notice that they have surround sound systems. Now, the surround sound system that I have in my house was hooked up by Buzz, I think, 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And Buzz jerry-rigged it. You know, Buzz is fantastic with electronics, and Buzz has got it, like, going through the VCR and coming out of the VCR and going into a satellite box.
Yeah, but you've got all that foil in your living room.
And you know, going from the satellite box to the TV and then back down to the LaserDisc machine. And what they've got there is all of these brand new surround sound units that have DVD players built into them.
Ah.
So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wow, pretty great. Relatively inexpensive, a lot less than I thought I was going to have to pay. There's something nice about Best Buy. Mm-hmm. This was my first experience with the first representative, who I will call Cletus, who was standing chewing gum, not doing anything.
Right there. Now listen, and everybody knows, since we got that heads up, we will give the qualifier here. We all go there because they do have great prices, and they do have selection. They do.
Oh.
That's the place. That's
but
why
I'm telling you.
But the gum, there should be managers there that should walk up to that heifer and take the gum out of his mouth.
The service blows.
They should walk up, seriously. When you have anybody, whether if you're dealing with the public on any level, and I know I might sound like an old fart here, you lose the gum. You chew your goddamn gum on your own time, Mrs. Piccoli.
So, I'm looking at this stuff, and I say to him, hey, you know, I really can't tell the difference between the Sony and the Panasonic. I say, do you have the Sony in stock? And he looks at me, quote, he goes, do you see one? I said, well, I see the display unit, but I don't see any others. He says, if we don't got it out, we don't got it. And I said, great. Thanks, you know, thanks for your help. So now I'm going through and I'm looking, trying to see what they've got. They've got these big, gigantic step ladders that go up to top racks where they have other stuff.
Right.
So what I do is I get on the ladder, and I climb up this ladder a little bit because I want to see if up here on the top if they got this Sony thing I'm looking at.
Is that when the alarm went off?
Well, the next thing I know, some other guy comes over, and I'll say that this guy was not a dick. He just said, hi, you can't be up there.
Right.
And I said, well, the last guy told me that if it wasn't down there, you didn't have it in stock. And I see you've got about 1,000 boxes up here. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if you've got what I'm looking for. And the guy was very nice, and he said,
step off the ladder, sir.
The guy said, I'm not exaggerating. The guy said, I'd be glad to help you.
Oh, that's nice.
What are you looking for? And I said,
sir, step off the ladder. We're going to escort you from the store.
I said, this model right here, the Sony model, costs about $550. The guy said, great. Let me go check. I'll be right back. I stood there like a little lost kid in the store for 15 minutes. The guy never came back.
He never came back?
The guy never came back.
Oh, my God.
Strike number two. So at this point, I see that there's a Panasonic one.
Right.
And, you know, all I care about is made by the Japs, because they're fantastic with electronics.
They can take a television and put it on your wrist.
As a Reggie White says.
Yeah. Right.
So I get the Panasonic one, and I think, this is what I'm going to get. And at this point, Bart and I are carrying this thing up front, and now's when I notice the true downfall of Best Buy, that they have... Well, they fool you because they have 12 registers that have big yellow signs that say number one, number two, number three, number four. They've only got four registers open. In line, in each of the four registers, at least 15 people in each line.
Not acceptable.
Whoever's up front doing the scanning and getting the credit cards... They've got to be the dumbest people in the world.
Working at snail's pace.
Yes, because obviously, whoever Best Buy has working at the cash registers, it's too much for them to comprehend that you take the pointy thing and you point it at the barcode to get the price, then you take the credit card, you swipe it through the machine, and that's how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's stumped. All four of these cashiers are stumped. While I'm watching this, and while Bart and I are just standing in a line, one of four lines of 15 people, I'm noticing other Best Buy employees who are talking to each other,
mm-hmm.
who are standing,
mm-hmm.
just rapping with each other.
Huge number of employees in these stores.
Just sitting around talking to each other. And okay, here, you want something nice, Best Buy? Here's something nice. If you didn't sell this thing so cheap, I would have walked out of the store. But the point is, it was cheaper there than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Because after we had... Now, keep in mind, after the first guy yells at me and says, if we don't got it, it's not out. After the second guy says to me, because I'm up on the ladder, I'll be glad to help you, and leaves me for 15 minutes.
Right.
Then we go wait in line. We're in line for 15 minutes. The line is not moving.
Right.
At that point, I said, you know what? Screw it. We'll just get it somewhere else. And then I thought, no, you know what? It's a great price.
It's a great price. They have it. A lot of places don't have it.
So we waited in line, and it was just an awful experience.
You're not doing anything that anybody that runs a company wouldn't want to hear. You're doing a service.
We were in Best Buy for over 1 hour, and I think that the time could have been cut in half. If they would have opened more registers, if they would have had less of the unattractive people wearing the blue shirts actually working rather than talking to each other.
A lot of socializing goes on in Best Buy.
And picking their noses. And frankly, I realize that your average Best Buy employee is not the brightest bulb on the tree. But do this. Find the people with the IQ over 70 and put them on the cash register.
So things can move quicker.
So we are in the store over 1 hour. Finally, we make our way to the front. And at this point, the dummy has no problem. With me, he does it perfect. We pick the thing up. We put it on the counter. He scans it. I give him the credit card. It takes 2 minutes.
You're done.
We buy the thing. We're walking out of the store. We don't make it out of the store 3 feet. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Their big security guy that they have there.
Come on back. Come on back. So now we got to go back in the store, and we're going against traffic.
Right.
So everybody's walking out. have to come back in.
What did he want? To check your product?
To look at the receipt.
Right. God damn it. You know, I'm sorry. I hate to say that again. It's the second time I say it, but I've been in that store. Theft prevention is more important than customer service.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm not right.
It's not right to do that. Figure out a system so that, you know, that's why they have, don't they have all the things that go, rip, put those on there if you're so concerned about it.
Well, they put those on the CDs. Mm-hmm. But on the stuff, you know, that costs hundreds and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, there's no system except a guy in a yellow shirt up there just going, you know.
So it's like, we've been in here over an hour. We finally make it out. We're out on the sidewalk, and they pull us back in.
I tell you what, your DV player, your cables,
calm. Your meal, free. Calm. So that's my complaint with Best Buy.
I've been in there a million times. I find it very, very tough. And it's tough. And it's all these things are things that they can correct, and they can make it a better store.
You know, customer service just did not seem to be.
It's not like they've got
a priority.
It's not like they've got the corner on that market. You know, any of the superstores have this problem. They have so many employees. They have to maintain. They have to monitor it, and they have to improve things. And I think that they should. You're going to still go back there because they do have the prices, but they have to improve it.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Wow. You'll never go back again.
Well, I might. Yeah, I'm
You ought to see if they cancel the schedule first.
I am speaking. Yeah, you know what? I will. Yeah, because if they don't cancel the schedule, I'll go back.
Okay.
And they shouldn't cancel the schedule because I'm just.
You're just giving them a reminder. Anybody that runs a business like that, mm-hmm. you know, upper level management, of course, we've had our experiences with upper level management. If they hear something like that, they look at it as an educational experience.
I was going in there to spend $600.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of goddamn money.
Right.
The first guy blew me off and was rude to me. The second guy made me wait for 15 minutes and never came back. Then I waited in line for another 20 minutes while I watched employees standing around and discussing what they were going to be doing on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I was making my way out of the store, I'm accosted by some guy who thinks that I'm stealing this thing.
Right, I know, it sucks.
You know, and I feel like saying to the guy, hold on a minute. I've been standing in this line for 20 minutes.
There's an adversarial relationship between the people that work there and the customers.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you have that, it makes you... Whenever I go in there, I always have kind of a defensive crouch. Last time I was in there, I was getting a little thing for a cell phone. The guy couldn't have been nicer. But a lot of times when you go in there, it's kind of an adversarial situation. It makes me nervous.
And like I said, the second guy was very nice, except the second guy never came back.
The guy
who said, okay, I'm going to go check and see if we have this in stock.
Did you get what you want?
I got the Panasonic.
Did you hook it up?
Okay, that's my next story. which has nothing to do with Best Buy.
Oh, right.
This is just...
Did your wife hook it up?
No. This is just I'm an idiot. Let me do a break. We'll be right back.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's up, guys? Tom, Gavin, you're a monster. You have shown me something. Tom, Gavin, it's 2001. You got to show me something more.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to save.
Don and Mike, live at the Super Bowl next Friday. They will show you something.
Yep.
Cletus, what are you beating your gums about?
They are importing more comedy bits from Japan in order to prolong your listening pleasure. It is the radio program of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, now listen, next Friday we'll be live from Tampon Bay for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And on Thursday of this week, I'm not sure how we're going to do this yet, but 2 days from now we're giving away a free trip to Jamaica.
Yeah, come on.
That's a nice vacation.
Yeah.
Courtesy of the movie The Beach.
We haven't had a nude in this studio at all.
Leo DiCaprio.
Now they haven't had anybody naked in here for a while, though.
Now available, don't I hear you?
Okay.
On DVD and VHS. The trip is courtesy of Beaches Resorts. The newest wave and ultra all-inclusives for everyone and the beach.
Who doesn't want to go on a trip like that?
So maybe we'll have some naked people in here.
Very good.
On Thursday, we'll talk about that on tomorrow's episode if you're just joining us and you live in Washington, D.C. We want to thank you once again for bestowing us with fantastic Arbitron ratings. We're number one 12 plus and number one across the board. Best showing ever, as the show is now number one in 39 demographic categories.
Sure, hard to walk around this town and not bump into somebody that hasn't been touched by this show.
So thank you very much for listening. We certainly do appreciate it.
We do indeed.
And we're going to have the big thank you show on February 8th.
Feb 8th.
On our Las Vegas-style show premiere for 2001.
Cool. Good.
In which Mike and I will buy the first drink for everybody in attendance.
Wow.
We're coming. As a way of saying thank you for listening and thank you for supporting the show.
You know, you always give me that look that tells me we're really doing it that way, too. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes we say we're doing it and the company pays for it, but we're doing it. Like, so we got to bring extra cash down there.
Well, bring your credit card.
I know. You gave me that look. I mean,
yeah, right. You and me.
You get so damn generous every time we have these high ratings. You know, first of all, they give us a bonus, and we have to give half of that thing away. And now we're going down and we're buying everybody a drink. You know what? So you want us just to buy people cars? Is that what you want?
I would if I could.
I know you would. I know. You're a good man that way.
Our listeners are the only people that are loyal to us.
I know.
I mean, don't get me going on the whole thing with the station here again.
I just fresh off that weekend that I spent too much money. You know, I'm a little light.
And I want to hear about that.
No.
But let me just tell you.
You put your thing together?
Okay. We get done with the CF at Best Buy.
Uh-huh.
We get in the car. We go home. I think, how tough can this be?
Right.
To hook up this surround sound. I mean, I've got these big, gigantic speakers. I'm replacing them now with tiny speakers.
Uh-huh.
I think it should be very simple. I get the box open. I glance at the directions. I figure, how tough can this be?
Right.
Immediately what I do is, oh, now keep in mind, Frida's out of town.
Oh.
Frida's in New York.
Okay.
With her mom. They went up for the whole Honey weekend where it was Frida and her mom and her sister. And they had a great time. They went to some queer Broadway show and they got tickets to The View. So they went,
good.
They went to The View and they did all the...
So they had a wonderful time.
Yeah. All the crap they wanted to do and they had a great time and it was just Bart and I at home.
That's good. Well, I mean, it's good that they had a good time. I know you were, you did that whole thing for them, and I think that's terrific.
Yeah, because I love my mother-in-law, I love my wife, I love my sister-in-law.
I just want to say something. And this is a carryover from what I said before with giving the money away and now, you know, buying people a drink and sending your wife over there. It's time for Don Geronimo to think about himself.
Well,
it's time for you to take a little time for you.
I did when I got the surround sound, okay?
Good. All right.
Now,
so that was your thing, right? Your reward.
I'm jacked about it.
Right.
The thing's goddamn beautiful. I take it out of the box. It's fantastic. What I first do is I turn around the cabinet that has all of the various things, like the amp, the laser disc, which we don't need anymore, the VCR, the satellite box. And what I do is I just start pulling cords out because I think I'm starting from scratch here.
Yeah, right.
So what I'm going to do is just get rid of all this old crap,
mm-hmm.
put in the new crap, and I'm going to be, boom, I'm going to be set. And Buzz, I thought about calling you.
You should have.
Because as it turns out, you know, Buzz came over and hooked up this thing before,
mm-hmm.
and Buzz had to jerry-rig it, kind of.
Yeah.
So I thought, what I'm doing is, I'm taking out all this crap. It should be simple. You go, TV, satellite.
This is your cave system.
And,
right?
Yeah, this
right.
is, you know, the important one for me, where I watch football and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, suffice to say, I yanked out all of the old stuff. I put the new stuff in. Now, keep in mind at this point, the room looks like a goddamn nuclear bomb has gone off.
Oh, yeah.
Because the box is there, and you've got those big, gigantic hunks of styrofoam everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What I've done is I've taken the old system, and I have just ripped the cable wire.
Mm-hmm.
The wire that goes to the speakers.
Right.
I've just ripped everything right. Buzz had gone through with a staple gun, and it actually stapled the speaker wires to the bottom of the floor. I've ripped all of those out, and it's just all over the room. And what I've done now, after 2 hours, I realize I've totally effed myself that I can't get the TV to work now. I mean, I can plug the TV in and it turns on, but I don't get anything.
Well, your TV is a little long in the tooth, isn't it?
It's about 10 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still...
You don't have all the access...
No, it's got the right stuff.
Does it have S cable?
Yes, it does.
And really?
And the S cable is the thing that I know has got the little penis in the middle of it.
Pins, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So, I mean, I've read the book and I've seen this.
Now, I'm frustrated because what I've done is I've screwed myself. At least with the old system, I could watch TV.
Right.
Now I can't watch TV. I've unhooked the satellite system. I can't figure out how to get the forget the amp. I'm thinking now I'll just watch TV through my regular TV and listen on the sound on the TV. I can't figure out how to get the satellite hook backed up to the TV.
So everything's just sitting on the floor and you're sitting there defeated?
And I'm pissed. I mean, I've been at it for 2 hours. Right. And
were you blaming Buzz because he jerry-rigged everything?
No, not at all.
I was just checking.
I am blaming myself. I'll say this about Buzz. When Buzz went through, every speaker wire, every coaxial cable, everything had a little tag on it.
Like a real engineer would.
That said...
And Frida did some of that, too.
Yes, well, it was your handwriting and Frida's handwriting that said, you know, left input, right input.
Right.
Well, what I did
was... Absolutely essential when you're hooking up a system.
I just ripped them all off.
You didn't rip the tags off.
Yes, because...
What the hell did you do that for?
Because the new thing came with new cords.
Its own cables.
It came with new cables.
Yeah, but your surround system, you know, only... That's just speakers.
No. The surround system came with its own cable, where you have the S thing that goes to the TV and goes to the satellite and goes to the VCR and all the inputs.
Okay.
So I didn't need...
Oh, so you got a whole system.
Yeah.
Like with an amp and everything.
It's got the amp built in, a 5-disc DVD player.
Wow.
It came with 5 speakers. It came with the subwoofer.
Right.
I mean, I bought the whole thing, the whole enchilada. Now, unfortunately, after 2 hours, I'm sitting on the floor, and I'm going, God damn, I suck. I'm such an idiot. Then look at this, and I look around, and all I see is components. Mm-hmm. Old components, new components.
Right.
I've been like a madman opening this new thing up.
Did you think about what you were going to replace with that? I mean, what was going to go? Because obviously, if you had the old stuff, there's certain things that you were going to make obsolete.
Everything was going to be gone. I was taking out the amp, the VCR, the Laserdisc player, and I was just replacing them with this one new thing.
Right.
The amp and the DVD player. So... 2 hours into this, like I say, I'm sitting on the ground, and I am down on myself.
Just sobbing.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God, the Giants game is on tomorrow. The Raiders game is on tomorrow. I can't even watch TV in my own room anymore. I am awful. I'm a failure. I can't hook this up. I tried reading the book. The book confuses me. I don't want to swallow my pride and call Buzz because what am I going to say to Buzz? Hey, Buzz, guess what? I've effed up my TV. Please drop whatever you're doing right now and come over to my house and put my new TV together.
Might have been one of Buzz's weekends where he rescues animals.
Because I'm saved, though, because I got a kid.
Right.
Now,
good.
He comes in the room. He's 15 and a half years old.
Mm-hmm.
He opens the door and he says, what are you doing? I said, I am trying to put this together, but it doesn't work, and I'm pissed. Bart said, let me try. And I went, just like this, I went, yeah. Yeah, you try, genius. I said, that's fine. Knock yourself out. You try. Go ahead. You go ahead.
How long did it take for him to fix it?
2 hours. Now, he started to work on it. And at first, he was confused.
Mm-hmm.
And he was frustrated. He said, Dad, I don't think you should have ripped everything out first. You should have let me see how it was done first. And then I said to him, you know what? You get this hooked up, I'll pay you $50.
Oh.
I said, because I would have paid a guy from Best Buy $50 to come hook this up.
He would have been chewing gum.
I would have paid Buzz $50 to hook this thing up.
Was Bart chewing gum when he was doing it?
No, he was. All right. He was not. So at this point, I leave the room. I go out. I go to the kitchen. I had my dinner.
Were you just leaving it to him and even stopping in?
I'm stewing on this. I am pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am pissed. And 2 hours later, I hear, hey, Dad, come here. And it was part elation, part humiliation, and part anger. When I walked into the room and I saw the little SOB, my son, God, I love him, as he took the remote control and he went, watch. And all the lights came on. And he said, put a DVD in.
We put a DVD in. We put in Saving Private Ryan. Because there's nothing better to check the sound.
Oh, that opening scene of Saving Private Ryan.
Than the first half hour of Saving Private Ryan. And, I mean, you got the bullets coming out of the back speakers. And you got the bullets coming out of the right speakers. And I mean, he's got this thing.
Everything's perfect.
He's got it hooked up.
Good
so
man.
I say to him, you know what, Bart? You're a lifesaver. You're a better man than me. I'm proud of you. I'm going to give you $50. And then he says, what about all this other stuff that you're throwing away? And I said, oh, it's crap. It doesn't work. He said, can I have it? Okay. And I said, again, sure. Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
He's probably got the best system up in his room now.
Downstairs, because he's moved to the basement.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He has a TV where he has PlayStation. He now has all of my former components,
right,
which incidentally, he figured out how to fix, which is why
they all worked. It's just they were hooked up a button here pushed the wrong way, that type of thing.
It was like mousetrap.
I go downstairs and he said, and first off, on top of the CD, on top of his TV, he has got this gigantic amp. Then he's got a LaserDisc player. Then he's got his PlayStation. Then he's got every old video game system that I've ever bought him that has become obsolete. He's got them all hooked up. He's got two gigantic speakers on each side. He's got the center speaker. He's got the speakers behind him. He turns the thing on.
Mm-hmm.
I ask you not. It sounds better than the system I just paid $600 for.
Possible, yeah.
Yeah, and he made $50 on the deal.
There you go. Good for him.
Good
man.
He made $50 on the deal.
He's got that mind for that stuff. That's good. You got an electronics genius at home.
And listen, I'm so glad that I have a kid at home who knows about that stuff, because I would have been lost. My plan was to just leave everything in the room like a tornado had hit it and wait until Frida got home,
mm-hmm,
and tell her to go in there and fix it.
And he did it.
He did it.
And then the room was all cleaned up and everything?
Oh, he cleaned up the room.
Oh, my God.
Excellent. I mean, he did. He did everything. He took out all the styrofoam. He took out all the boxes. He did everything.
It's so good if you know how to do that. Because, mm-hmm, I mean, so many people are confused by it.
The whole rest of the weekend, all day during the football games on Sunday, I would just walk up to him and I would say, and I mean, I always tell him that I love him and I always hug him and tell him what a great guy he is. But I mean, it was like a real man-to-man thing, because when I would see him, I would put my hand out. I'd shake his hand. I go, I can't tell you. That's a great job. You did a great job hooking up all that crap.
It is, really, when you look at one of those schematics, it's the most. Some of the stuff is the most confusing thing in the world.
No, but, you know, here's the thing. And I was watching him while he was doing it for a while. He's looking at, and he's doing it without a manual, mm-hmm, okay?
Right.
He's just looking at the cords and he goes, all right, well, that's input A. Input A goes over here to output B, but then I need to go past output B, and I'm going to run that through the VCR.
And then, the best part of that is he takes all your stuff downstairs and makes it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's got the best system in the house.
Yeah. I mean, and not to mention the fact that over the last 5 years, like everything that I buy, it becomes outdated, the laser discs.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've put a ton of dough into these laser discs.
Yeah, they're now, totally outmoded.
Yeah, now I've got a DVD player up in my room upstairs. I got about 15 DVDs. Meanwhile, my kid's got the laser disc player downstairs with about 200 laser discs.
You have that many? You just have a ton of laser discs?
Yeah.
God.
But when I got the laser disc player, it was cutting edge.
That's right, it was. You get everything an hour after it comes on the market.
I do try.
I have never, I was thinking about that when I was looking at this Palm Pilot the other day. You were looking at me and you said, you're not tired of that yet, and I am. This is still new technology. You got this thing 15 minutes after it came out on the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your thing. Electronics are your thing.
But the laser discs are now outmoded.
So you love electronics. You like to have products like as soon as they break on the market, and now you've got a kid in your house that can help you hook them up.
Not only that, I mean, it was more than help. He did it.
Right.
He did it. And all weekend long, I kept coming up going, put it right here. Let's shake. You're the man.
There you go.
You are the man. And meanwhile, he's got the great system downstairs now.
Oh,
and Frida came home, and she took a look at the work that he did, and she was mighty impressed.
Good.
And then she went downstairs to his bedroom, and she said,
Oh my God, have you seen what he's got down there? And I said, yeah. She said, where do you get that stuff? He said, that's my stuff.
That was part of the benefit. That was the bonus.
That's my stuff. She said, well, why did you pay him? You shouldn't have paid him. That should just be something that he does for his dad. I said, listen, you don't know how desperate I was on
You were sitting in the middle of the floor crying.
On Saturday, I said, I would have paid Buzz. I would have paid the guy from Best Buy. I would have paid anybody. I said, at the time I said it to him, frankly, I thought it was an impossible challenge.
It was an offer of desperation.
And I said, right. Yeah, you can do that. I'll pay you $50.
And he did it.
I'm going to have my dinner. See you later.
That's great. I'm proud of you.
2 hours later, he calls me and, hey, Dad, pushes one button on the remote. Everything goes on.
That's cool.
I mean, he even figured out how to hot sync all the remotes together. So now on one remote, I press one button and it turns on the amp, the satellite, the VCR,
nice.
And the TV. I press one button now, and everything goes on. I don't have to use 25 remotes anymore. I use one remote now.
Beautiful. That is very, very cool.
Because of my son.
That is very cool.
That is a testament to how smart he is and also how stupid I am. Because I just feel like the biggest freaking dope in the world. But it was a great feeling.
That is cool. It's cool. I mean, you know, it's yours. That's your son.
Yeah.
That's doing that stuff.
Right. And like I said, I couldn't have done it without him.
Excellent. Next week it's the transmission in the car.
Next week he wants to go skiing.
Ah, excellent.
With you and the family.
I am ready.
So anyway, and that's the other thing I forgot to tell you, that he kept saying to me, "Hey, Dad, my cave is better than your cave." And I said, well, no, it's not, because, I have a DVD. And then he pointed out on this stupid PlayStation that I bought him for Christmas.
Oh, that's right.
He can play DVDs on the PlayStation. Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then he went online to a site where he said, "Hey, Dad, remember how you said they don't make Laserdiscs anymore?" I said, "Right." He said, "Hey, look, I found a site where they're selling Laserdiscs." I said, "Oh, but you'll get nothing new." He said, "Oh, really? How about Mission Impossible 2? How about Big Mama's House?"
So they're still making them.
Yeah, yeah. And they're cheaper than DVDs. They cost $7 each to buy a Laserdisc now.
You just get, now it's the passage. It's the rite of passage.
I'm just a friggin' dope.
No. But that's good. But you got somebody in there. He's looking out for you.
Yeah, no, he did an excellent job.
That's good.
So that was my weekend. And Frida had a great time up in New York with her mom. At least they did most times when they called. Most times when they called, here's the thing. My wife was up there having a great time, and I was having a sucky weekend because I was having stitches removed, and I had a bad experience at Best Buy, and my son trumped me with putting this stuff together, and I answer the phone and go, "Hello?" And she's like, "Oh, we're having a great time up here. We went to the new Madame Tussauds Wax Museum up here. It's so realistic." It's like, I could give a rat's ass. I'm glad you're having a good time, but, I'm going through hell down here.
But look what you got. You got a kid that can fix things.
Oh, fantastic. And I do know that you did not stay at home this weekend, and you had yourself a very exotic weekend.
I had a great exotic weekend. I went down to Florida, and I just wanted to. I was going to go skiing, and they said it was going to be 58 degrees at the ski slope. And it turned out to not be that cold around here this weekend, right? I mean, it was something.
I was in the 40s this weekend.
Upper 40s, probably. So, I mean, it was. Originally, I thought it was going to be in the 50s, and I'm just. You know how I get this complex about weather that wherever I'm, whatever I'm going to do, if I'm going to go skiing, it's going to be 58 degrees on the ski slope. If I'm going to go down someplace where it's supposed to be warm, like it was, when we went on vacation, it's going to be 28 degrees. So I used some frequent flyer miles. Believe it or not, I have frequent flyer miles. And I took the family down to Florida, and where they said it was going to be 75 to 76 degrees all weekend. And the first day, it wasn't, but it turned out to be a pretty nice weekend, except for my bleeding nipple.
All right, hold on.
Now
that's a tease, Buzz. I'm sorry.
No, I like it. That is the only blemish, so to speak, in an otherwise really pretty astonishingly good weekend, but the bleeding nipple was embarrassing.
All right, Mike's bleeding nipple. When we come right back.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Beverly golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting. They call me three-putt buck. That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf courses. Those things you squish up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device. He licked his balls clean.
They can turn a bucket of crap into a bucket of cream. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, so the last I heard, Friday, you were going to get on an airplane.
Yeah, which, you know, takes a lot for me to do that. It really does.
And bring your family down to Tampa for roughly the cost of what I paid for my DVD system.
Very, very exciting weekend. I went down to play golf. It was a beautiful weather weekend. I want to tomorrow come in because they weren't going to be listening today, but they're going to be listening tomorrow. There are a couple of pilots, a pilot and a first officer on United Airlines that were just super nice to my kids getting on the plane. They let my daughter sit in the cockpit, and she had her picture taken with the captain's hat on, and I went into this cockpit. They did it actually going down, and they did it this morning coming back from Tampa, Florida. I was down in Tampa where they're getting excited about the Super Bowl, and when I went into the cockpit today, the pilot was in there. Hi, what's your name? And Catherine was really delighted and real excited about that, and he said, now press this button, and she presses this button in the cockpit, and the flight stick just went like that, and then she said, now watch this, and he presses this, and you hear this, wind shear, wind shear, and about this time I said, okay, honey, daddy's going to get out of the cockpit now, okay? Let's go back to the seat. You know, the pilots are just, you know, they're on the ground, they're doing their pre-flight, and it was just, they were very nice. I will remind me to mention their names tomorrow because I did grab their business cards. But we went down there for sun and for fun. The first day the weather was kind of you know, and then it broke and it turned out to be a real nice weekend. Well, it was very cold, and I'm down there in the mornings very cold, and I'm playing golf and, you know, trying to pretend that it's warmer than it is. So I'm just wearing a golf shirt. And as I'm wearing this golf shirt...
Is this going to lead us into the bleeding nipple?
Well, I hope so. And, you know, can I just say before I start with this, my nipples are fine now.
Good.
I don't want people calling and saying horrible things about some nipple disease that I have. Okay?
You know they will, though.
But they will, but I don't want to hear about it. People do that to me all the time. But I was playing golf in, it was probably about 58, 59 degrees. It was chilly.
It ain't that cold.
But not that cold. So I took the old windbreaker off, and I was in. But because of the slightly lower temperature, my nipples, apparently, I was not even aware of my nipples until the second day.
You mean you don't play golf anymore with the sweater tied around your neck?
No, I
don't. That's the look I love.
With shirtless. Apparently, the only way I can figure this out is that with the slightly colder weather, my nipples were in a state of erection.
Good, good for you.
And so I was playing golf, and I was unaware until the very end.
This little girl had knockers.
Of the round, that my nipple hurt. And I said, my nipple hurts a little bit. And I didn't think anything of it, but the next day I wore a yellow golf shirt. I wore a yellow golf shirt and didn't think much of it. My nipples were a little tender the first day, but I went out the second day. It was a similar kind of deal.
Are they always, though?
It's they're sensitive. They're not sensitive. I'm not somebody who enjoys having my nipples played with, like some men. I mean, some men do. Some men actually don't. Some men say, you know, even though they're men, having their nipples played with is a turn-on. I don't really think of my nipples as an erotic area.
They're so nice, they picked me as their spokesman. Because I'm nice.
I looked over at him.
There's somebody. I think you've stated on the show before.
I have said that. Yes, that's true.
Then you're big into having your nipples dilly.
It couldn't hurt. Well, second day I'm out there, I met a real nice guy.
There's something queer about that, I think.
About what? About guys that enjoy having their nipples played with?
Yeah.
I don't think of the nipple, the male nipple to me is not an erogenous zone at all.
Me either.
But I met a real nice guy from the D.C. area, a lawyer, and surprisingly enough, he was a nice guy, and we played golf, and we enjoyed each other's company, that the following day, I actually played golf with him and his son. They came out, we had a really good time, but the first day, I'm wearing this yellow shirt, and at the very end of the round, I shook his hand, and I said, hey, that's great, you know, what time's your tea time tomorrow? Yeah, we'll get together tomorrow, fantastic, see you later. And I'm walking away, I said, hey, that was really nice, and I look down, and I see over my left nipple where the nipple is, there's blood.
Uh-oh.
And now, Rob, I don't know why you have to say, oh, because it was a little patchy little blood area that I had there, and I freaked a little bit, because I said, what the hell is this? And I looked down, and sure enough, my nipple was raw due to apparently, the only way I can figure this out is that the nipple was erect through most of the round and it was rubbing up against the material of the golf shirt. Here he comes.
Ouch.
You knew he'd have to find a microphone here. What, you're going to torture me. Go ahead.
What was the fabric of the shirt? Was it like a nylon or was it cotton?
That's the thing, Rob. It was cotton, but it
really?
Wasn't that rough cotton that you get. You know how you get certain golf shirts that are made out of
cotton?
That?
It was not a PK. It was like a smooth brush.
It was a brushed cotton that should not have generated that kind of irritation. But it was a pattern, a weave, a pattern.
Bet you might at Eddie Bauer.
You are listening to Fag on Fag right now.
Well, you know, it wasn't your nipple bleeding. In deference to you there, pal, it was not your
I'm
nipple
I'm for
bleeding.
The nipple bleeding. It's just when we get into the discussion about
the fabric.
The fabric.
Well, it was
thank God you're okay.
The only reason I mentioned the fabric is because it was in my mind. It was because, frankly, that fabric was a decision process that happened later in the weekend. Sunday morning, I didn't go for this certain cotton shirt that I had because I knew it was a rougher fabric, and I knew that my nipple wouldn't be able to handle it. So I'm looking at this, and of course it's a yellow shirt, and I look down, and it looks as though, you know when you've blotted some blood?
Sure.
And it's sitting there, and I said, God, I hope this nice attorney that I play golf with wasn't, you know, looking at what he said, hey, he's a nice guy, but he was bleeding from his nipples. And I swear to God, I was a little bit freaked out, because I, you know, you think the worst. You think maybe, you know, is this some sort of disease that I have and stuff like that? I mean, when people bleed from the nipples, now why are you nodding
well,
like that?
Well, it can't be good, right?
Well, I think it was irritated, because it's all right now.
I'm sure that's it.
Well, he's going to look at it now.
I'm sure it's just irritated.
Pull it out. Give us a nice teach.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Unless you want to see, it's still got a little mark on it.
Sure.
You want to see my nipple?
Sure, let's go fag all the way.
Well, I mean, I gotta show you that I'm not lying. It's a tiny little red.
First of all, I'd like to say for the record, I believe you.
It's a little. It's right there.
Now, I see nothing wrong with that nipple.
Right there.
Mike, is it on the nipple or the areola? Right on the nipple.
It's on the nipple. Don't say areola.
Okay. I see all nothing right. wrong with that nipple. Right.
There's no. Well, it was hurting like hell the other day, and I could bring the shirt in still because I haven't had it laundered, and it had blood on it. And the next day, what I did was, I mean, it hurt. The next day, it hurt. It was angry. And I actually got a Band-Aid, and I put it across my nipple.
Like girls on the beach do.
Well, you know how long, when I'm a man who occasionally sweats during exertion, and it got a little warm, and the Band-Aid lasted maybe through four swings on the driving range before I had to take the nipple off. And sure enough, at the end of the round, it was all I brought down there because I was going to the, you know, fun in the sun. I brought light-colored shirts. I did not bring any dark-colored shirt. This is all, you know, eradicated with a nice-colored shirt, with the proper, like, navy blue or something like that. So what it was I had the nipple, the same thing, and a little worse this time where it was just a little splotch of... My nipples are getting erect right now, what I'm talking about.
Of course they are.
I don't know what it is. I have a problem sometimes where they stay that way for a long period of time. I swear to God, I do. Do you ever have that happen?
No, I'm not a fag.
I'm not a fag. Why is this fag? Why is this gay? This is not. No.
It's part of the human anatomy.
If he was having this discussion, I'd be calling him a fag.
Well, the thing is, sometimes I will, when I get cold, they'll lock in and they'll kind of stay that way.
I enjoy the irritation.
But I, you know, it was that, it went away eventually. It was less irritated. You'll notice today, no blood. No
right.
blood that I can see.
No blood on your shirt.
But I mean, it's been relatively warm in the studio, so and it cleared up, and now it doesn't look like there's any real... You didn't even see any irritation on there.
No, I didn't.
But I mean, it was a superficial thing where it had rubbed and gotten irritated because I think my nipples were erect for most of the time
okay.
that I was playing due to the cold. Other than that, fantastic time. Great time with my kids. They had a little pool down there that the kids loved. Yeah.
Here you go. Here's your first concern call.
No. I almost said the S word.
You knew this was going to happen.
Joan.
Yeah. No, I'm not, I don't want to make a joke of this because it really can happen. I've had two male friends. I am in the medical profession. Yeah. And men can have breast cancer.
I know. And I was, it's not that I wasn't thinking of that. But I mean,
well,
it would still
don't
be.
Don't you think you should have it checked out?
Well, no, it's gone.
Actually, how men get it checked out is they do get mammograms.
But I mean, you don't understand. I mean, it's not like I was bleeding out of the nipple. I was bleeding from like an irritated the top of it. It was rubbed on. That's what it was.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything because the whole area. I mean, it's the whole muscle, and that could be cancerous. And I'm not saying that you have cancer. And I really,
Mike, you knew this would happen.
Funny.
You knew this
but
would happen.
You really should look at this.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should get Buzz to come over and see if he can suck any blood out of that.
All right, I'll tell you what. I've got a doctor's appointment on Thursday. I'll have the doctor look at my
good.
Nipple.
Hey, listen, good. Here's a question. When you had blood on your nipple,
yeah.
If you were to reach up and squeeze your boob, could you have squirted the blood for any distance?
No. No, in fact, I couldn't have squirted the blood at all. Do you know how I know that?
Oh.
I tried.
You tried.
I tried when I got back home because my kids were at the pool with my wife and I was in the room by myself and I needed the nipple area.
Ew.
Excuse me. It was bleeding and I was concerned about it.
I am hearing the diary of a gay man right now.
Why gay? I'm sorry. I was concerned. Was something bleeding and I was concerned about it.
I'm going to take liberty with where you were, but for the record of the story, you went down to South Florida.
I didn't go to South Florida. I went to South Central Florida.
Okay, you were in South Florida.
I mean, sort of like Tampa,
right?
Where the Super Bowl is.
I
went there because the big game is going to be there in 2 weeks.
So taking a little license with this, you went down to South Florida
with my family.
You're who you were not with when your nipples got erect and started bleeding.
No,
you were with another man, and I believe with his son. When your nipples got erect,
they were unaware of my nipple problem. They were completely unaware.
So say you.
So you are seeing, you're going to make this into some sordid little like gay thing where I was down there. You think down there, paid a boy, some 21-year-old boy, to chew on my nipples or something like that?
Where'd you come up with that story?
Oh, God. All right, you. Okay.
You.
You. But my nipple's doing much better right now. I didn't put any clamps on him or anything.
Carlos.
Yeah, you saw that episode of Oz where that dude was bleeding from his nipple. No, he was bleeding. He was working out. I think he was benching, and he was bleeding from his nipple.
Yeah, but it was like really bleeding. I saw that episode of Oz. It was really, really bleeding, right?
And all this talk, if you guys were in Oz right now,
yeah, we'd be done.
All right.
That would be the talk of Mike and Buzz.
You know, I did think of that. I did when it was.
Oh, look,
it
now look at you now.
Of course.
Well, now it's
that.
When the word cancer is brought up, I get freaked out. I know.
Don't have cancer. It's not your nipple. It's not your nipple. And people are saying this, I get a little freaked out by it. I get a little, you know, uncomfortable. I really do. But I'm fine now.
Well, Mike.
Yeah.
I thought it was my nipple.
Stop it.
I thought it was. It was my special nipple.
Find yourself some Cuban refugee to take care of your nipple needs down in South Florida.
You somehow want to put me down in Cuba when I was in Tampa, Florida. I don't know. You want to put me in Aruba when I was in Tampa. I was not that far south.
Okay.
I wasn't in the Keys.
I got you.
Thank you very much.
But your nipple's okay now.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, since we've been talking about it, I hadn't thought about it at all today, and then we started talking about it, and then, now I'm just kind of itchy and tingly and everything.
You're touching yourself everywhere.
I feel, it's an area of your body. Nipples should be ignored, because once you start thinking about them, then you're aware of them, and then they're
exactly.
These little, thanks. Thank you, Buzz.
Hey, listen.
Thanks so much, but we had a great time, and those pilots.
Both of you guys have been talking about your nipples, and I'm telling you.
He's the one that talked about
his nipples. Mine are doing nothing.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry for you.
Mine are doing nothing.
I didn't say mine. These are not erotic.
I'm normal.
He talked about his nipples.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz talked about his nipples.
And your nipples got hard.
No, no. You see, you plugged that in. You didn't let me finish my sentence. Buzz talked about his nipples and his nipples as an erogenous zone.
Right.
Where I talked about my nipples rubbing against a golf shirt and getting irritated.
But
and
now you're
bleeding.
Feeling yourself up.
Because I still think it's tender.
Look at you.
It's still sensitive. It is.
Jesus Christ.
I swear to God.
Now he's making like a Molly Shannon pose.
Right.
And I'm embarrassed to ask the doctor to look at it. You know, I'm going to tell him,
you sure
hey,
know.
Doc, I thought I got an irritated. You want to take a look? That's going to be, that's worse than having him squeeze the beanbag for the hernia test.
Sure it is.
I'd say, can you look at my nipples and then just have him down there? Oh,
doctor. Won't be like that.
Thank you, doctor.
What are his chew marks?
The bite appears to be Cuban of origin.
The bite appears consistent with the dental plans that they have in Fidel Castro's communist world.
Right, of course.
Look at the bottom row of teeth. Look at how uneven the teeth are.
I spent the weekend with a Cuban man while my family was at the beach. I was sitting there with a Cuban man chewing on my nipples.
Take your hands off your boobs now.
Okay.
Let's see how long you can go without touching yourself.
I will. I'm thinking about it now because we're talking about it.
I know.
And the calls, of course, that are going to come in there. And they pretend to be. They're just trying to frighten me.
I'm not putting those calls through.
But I get plenty of medical attention. I really do. I could sit. You know me, and you know that I could sit here and do 2 hours talking about what I think's wrong with me.
I know.
I have always had that problem, and it's bad. And I wish I wasn't that way. But I mean, right now, Frankly, I think the ticker's about to go. I really do. I think it could happen any day. I think you guys could be doing the tribute show any day. And please make it sweet, that one day. Make it nice. Now, you're going to say that's faggy, too. Make it a nice, warm tribute.
No. It is, Mike.
I'm sitting there sometimes, and I feel, you know, all this exercise. I tell people this. All the exercise I've been doing, all the dieting I've been doing, I feel like crap.
Okay. All right, well, we'll pray for your nipple.
Headaches, heart palpitations, and bleeding nipples. That's what you get, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you get when you do it, when you go on a fitness kick.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasters, in our business, morals are one thing, but ratings are everything.
For those who serve, the Don and Mike Show.
We've got another shot of the money coming up with the secret song.
All right.
We'll take a couple of your phone calls here in a second. They just brought me in all the ratings information.
All those wonderful demographics.
Yeah, we want to thank everybody again here in D.C. for the great ratings we got. I like seeing how bad stations suck. I really do. 12 plus.
Uh-huh.
Beauty pageant. We're number one with a 6.2.
Yay.
We've been number one 3 times out of the last 5.
It's fantastic.
How about WBIG?
Yeah, fantastic. Good idea.
8th place.
Oh, that's too bad.
3.9. How about WWDC?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
That'd be DC 101?
Yeah. 3.5. 11th place.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
Oh, how about WMAL?
Off. Ah, Chris Core.
Charlie Warren.
3.0. 17th place.
Hi, Chris.
How about whatever they run on WTEM?
Mm-hmm. 100th place.
19th place.
19th
coming on.
Well, at least Chris Core's beating somebody.
There you go.
Oh, now this is where it's not even fair. Men 25 to 54.
Yeah.
We're number one every book.
Right.
We have a 10 share.
What's Chris Core at? Why don't we pick on him today?
Okay. Chris
Core. Is he there? Is he on there?
Yep. Number 20. 2.3.
Okay, good.
We have a 10.
Very nice.
All right, how about men?
And he's the Don and Mike hater for people along the network. He doesn't like us.
Men 18 to 49.
Mm-hmm.
We're number one, like we have been every book the last 5 books, with an 11.8 share. We're number one.
Double digits.
And Chris Core, well, WNBL, nobody listening.
Ah, very good.
He didn't make it.
Yeah, but he'll be invited to some embassy dinner.
You know, how bad that must be. You're doing an afternoon drive radio show. Men 18 to 49, that's a pretty wide demographic.
Surely is. A lot of people. That's who a lot of advertisers target.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't show. 98 Rock in Baltimore has a 2.7 share.
Hello, Chris.
He didn't show. Okay, here you go. Here's the money category. Adults, 25 to 54.
That's what they call it, the money category, because that's what everybody wants to get this group to listen to their show.
Mm-hmm. Don and Mike Show, last 5 rating books, number one, every book.
Well, you know, you could go back since the time we signed on at this radio station, and we'd have pretty good results in that demographic time.
Number one with a 7.2 share.
Let's go to Chris Core.
Chris Core. My man.
Well, hold on. Oh, I found him.
Good.
17th place.
Oh, very good.
With a 2.4 share.
Bravo.
Very nice, Chris. Outstanding book. You should be very proud. You set the world on fire on WMAL. You want to pick another station?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But you pick it. You pick this. You got them in front of you.
All right. Okay. Let me pick a station. How about, let me see the stations we compete against. Hold on.
We don't.
But the stations that broadcast at the same time as we do.
Okay.
How about WCOP, the news station?
Ah, very good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Overall listeners, 12 and over. Mm-hmm. Beauty pageant, we're number one, 6.2.
WTOP.
Oh. Oh. Number number 12 with a 3.4.
Couple of slots out of the top 10.
How about men 25 to 54?
Very good.
There we are again, number one with a 10 share. WTOP. Number 13 with a 3 share.
Three out of the top 10.
Men 18 to 49. Again, our show. Thank you to everybody who listens.
Amen. Yeah, we are eternally grateful.
Number one with an 11.8. WTOP. Oops. 20th place.
Oh, that's not looking real good.
With a 2.0. Okay, now the money demo.
Here we go. Adults 25 to 54.
Don and Mike Show, number one with a 7.2. WTOP.
Where are they? Come on now.
Number 19.
Yeah.
2.0 share.
Wow.
Congrats. All around. Great book, TLP.
Fantastic.
Oh, you want to pick one more?
Yeah.
Because they were both AM stations.
Sure.
Let's pick an FM station this time. You know what? Let's pick an FM station. You know what? Let's pick the toughest one.
Okay.
Let's pick WPGC.
Very good.
The brother station.
All right.
Okay. Let me see. 12 plus. All right, they're close. They're number two.
Okay.
We're number one. They're number two. Men 25-54. We're number one. We have a 10. WPGC is number 10 with a 3.3.
That's good. We've got some breathing room there.
Men 18 to 49. Don and Mike Show, number one, 11.8. WPGC FM. Wait a minute. Can't find him on the sheet.
Oh, dear.
Really? Oh, no. Oh, hold on. Number two. but we have an 11.8 number one.
What are they at number two?
A 5.9.
That's good.
Okay.
Wow.
So
that's good. That's our competition there.
All right. Adults 25 to 54. Number one we are with a 7.2.
Number one we are? You sound like Yoda there. Number one we are.
WPGC. Number 10.
Very good.
3.9.
Amazing. These are good. These are good ratings. We want to thank everybody for them.
That's good. Thank you. That's fantastic.
You guys did it again for us, and the wolves are off our back.
Oh, Rob, that's unfair now.
Hi, this is Surf.
No, you are a cruel man, Rob Spiewak.
You don't want to know Surf rating.
No, don't pick on old Surf.
No need for that.
Okay. Let's just see. Okay. 12 plus, beauty pageant, Donna Mike, number one. Surf. Well, he beats Chris Core.
Hey.
Well, that's good.
Right.
Number 12.
Okay.
Men 25-54. Donna Mike, number one. Surf, number two.
Yeah.
Hey, way to go.
Hey, that's good. Good for Surf. Way to go.
Before number one with a 10.
Uh-huh.
He's number two with a 5.
Well, that's good, though. He's number two. You know, I didn't expect that. I never expected that. Hi, this is Surf.
Okay, men 18 to 49. Don and Mike, number one, 11.8. Surf, number three.
That's good.
Excellent.
4.6.
Wow.
A lot of room between the top and and even number two and number three.
A lot of room between us and those orange fingers.
Okay, here we go. Money demo, 25-54. Donna Mike, number one, 7.2. Surf, number 11, 3.7.
Kind of slides in that money demo.
Okay, all right, well, you know, I'll say this. He did better than some of the other schmucks we looked at.
And way to go. And we're very happy for our ratings.
Yeah.
We really are. We can't thank you guys.
Stop listening to him, everybody.
Oh, attention, students. Hi, this is Surf from WJFK, wishing Frederick Douglass High School class of 1993 congratulations and have a wonderful, wonderful grad night.
Now, stop listening to him, please. I mean, even if the guy has half of our audience,
sure,
it still is good enough for number two in certain demographics.
Yeah, we're greedy. We want more.
Oh, hold on. Angry Black is on the phone. Angry Black guy. Hey, what could you possibly be angry about today?
What's up, my niggas?
Well, what could you possibly be angry about today?
First of all, y'all had me on hold for about 25 minutes.
Sorry, we're very busy today.
Yeah, but I'm going to let that go because the cheap dance on the phone sounds pretty nice.
Oh, Lisa, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
But I just want to let you know that I'm one of the Arbitron Poland people. They send you a little box in the middle.
Talk about that. Now, Angry Black, hold on a second. I had to delete that out because you're not allowed to talk about how the ratings are gotten.
Oh, okay.
You're not allowed. We're going to get in super trouble if you do that.
Well, just know that Don and Mike got my vote more than one time.
We do appreciate it.
Thanks for listening.
And,
thank you.
Did any of you guys see that Jungle Fever movie? Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Jungle Fever, right?
Nah, the Jungle Fever movie.
Spike Lee.
The black girl, the white girl. And
is it a new movie, or are you talking about the movie Jungle Fever?
Nah, the new movie.
The new movie?
With the white girl and the black dude.
Do you mean the movie about dancing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, say The Last Dance.
We didn't go see that. Only guys with bleeding nipples would go see
hey!
That.
I happened to see that, and it felt like I was in a human toilet of feces, because every speak fag and everything else in the world was there, and I just wanted to let you know ahead of time. Don't waste your time.
All right. Thank you, Angry Black Guy.
Thanks for the warning.
Thanks. See ya.
There he goes. He was angry again today.
I don't know why he was so angry today.
Oh, bad movie.
He had good news.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Hey, here's another angry black guy.
How you doing, angry black guy?
John Kim.
Oh, I thought it was Tom Gavin. Didn't you think it was Tom Gavin?
John Kim and Tom Gavin can sound alike quite often, and that's a real tribute to John.
John Kim, the angry yellow guy.
That's right.
Oh, you're a favorable Asian man. Anyway, I have to ask Buzz a question.
Okay, shoot, John.
Buzz, after your wife partakes of your holy nectar,
okay.
Does she let you kiss her, or do you mind kissing her?
I never mind kissing her.
Because I had a situation where I took off this girl's holy nectar, and she didn't want to kiss me worth anything. And I was
you gross me out, John Kim.
But listen, I want to tell you something, John Kim. I will address this topic.
Okay.
On the rare occasion that my wife will ingest my holy nectar.
Yes.
No way she getting kissed on the mouth by me after that.
What about when you partake of her holy nectar? Does she let you kiss her?
No, not really.
Okay.
Generally, when that happens, there's more hugging than kissing afterwards.
So there's not... Because,
Hey, Mike.
Yes?
How about you and your wife?
No, I don't think kissing is part of the equation. Even when my nipples are bleeding.
What about
Holy
Rob?
Holy nectar.
What about Rob?
Yeah, Rob.
Yeah. Lots of cuddling.
Lots of cuddling, John.
Just cuddling.
Rob doesn't want to answer that question.
Because I don't think because I met somebody, right? And I partook of their holy nectar, and they didn't want to kiss me worth anything. And I'll just walk.
Maybe it's because they don't want to kiss you ever.
What?
Maybe it's because you have that horrible breath.
Well, isn't a large woman with lots of nectar, John?
Yeah, that breath is probably not improved by that holy nectar.
I think John Kim, though, we've identified him in the past as one of the bad breath people.
Yeah, and that ain't like scope down there.
But, you know, I don't know.
When's the last time you went to a dentist?
Hey, the girl he's eating, her name is not Altoid. You know what I mean?
That's right. But I also, there's an issue here, and I want him to answer that question. When's the last time you went to a dentist?
About then.
About what?
About when?
John,
it's been a while.
How many
long?
Years?
A couple years.
Yeah.
How many years. Is a couple?
More than two.
More than two.
You know who John should date?
Oh.
Callista. Callisterine.
What?
All right. Goodbye, John Kim.
Bye.
Goodbye. See you later.
Always yours. He doesn't want to kiss me.
Hey, Rob, hold on. I got one more call for you.
All right.
Sonny.
Yeah.
Hi, Rob's here. What do you need?
Yeah, I want to challenge him to this Dennis Miller thing. When he comes on this week, I bet I could break it down better than he can.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah, but I want to challenge you.
Why would you want to do that? I mean, have a blast. I'll do it too if you like. But
my money's on Rob. And what this is about is last week we talked about, because he was so constrained on Monday Night Football,
right.
How
many times Dennis Miller would drop the F-bomb
right.
on his HBO show.
A guy called earlier, said he had it, and he said he used scooped Rob, and then Rob had it broken down to how many times he used the F-word and what subjects he used the F-word around, mm-hmm. and Rob had it broken down perfectly.
He had the S-word, he had Jackass, he had J-O-B-J.
It was about Clinton, and it was about...
I mean, there's no great science in, you know, videotaping a show and breaking it down, sir. I think it shows that I've had the forethought to do it. But, I mean, if you want to do it, go ahead. Have fun. I look forward to hearing your results.
All right, but if I do it better than you, I mean...
Then you will truly be the victor.
See, Rob is not affording you a challenge here.
My money's on Rob, though, so go ahead and give it a try.
Okay, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Did you watch Regis this morning?
Yes.
Did you notice that if he was rubbing his nipple because it was bleeding?
How many times did Regis say F?
I want to tell you something. That was funny. They had Regis do yoga. And they dressed Regis up like in a wife beater shirt.
Oh, God, Regis.
Hi there. And he looks now so much like Jack LaLanne.
He is definitely, you know, he works out, he tries, but he's still got that old man body. Hey, the old man arms, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Up like on the top near the armpits.
Got it. He's got all these. Hey, I, you know, even though I work out with Radu, I still got this. This chicken neck up here.
There's nothing funny. Oh, hold on. One last call. Hello.
Hi, how y'all doing? This is Dipsdale.
Who is this?
This is Dipsdale from New York.
Who is this?
This is Dipsdale from New York.
You got to slow down and pronounce it more clearly, sir.
My name is Dipsdale from New York. How y'all doing?
Dipsdale?
Yeah, Dipsdale.
Who's he trying? What's he trying to do, Rob?
This is going
to
be really obscure, but God knows about the... Is it Dimmesdale?
Yeah, Dimmesdale.
Is it from Monty Python?
Yeah, it might be Python.
It's a giant hedgehog in a Monty Python cartoon.
How would Tom Gavin possibly know that?
I don't know. This is not Tom Gavin. This might be Python.
I'm beginning to think you and Tom Gavin ought to go out to Vegas with Tom Cruise and gamble.
How do you spell Monty?
Monty?
Yes.
M-O-N-T-Y.
Oh, do you have the package in front of you there?
No, I do not.
No, I do not.
How do you spell Python?
P-A-N-T-E-R.
Perfect. What was that again?
P-A-N-T-E-R.
Monty Panther.
Panther.
How do you spell Life of Brian?
L-I-F-T. B-A-R-E-N.
Amazing.
You got it.
Thank you all.
Oif,
hi, Don. Durin. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Oif, forget
it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bob.
Sometimes it's hard with him.
Yeah.
Jesus. Hey, Tom, do you like the song Sit on My Face and Tell Me That You Love Me?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Roar!
Roar!
Do you like the song I'm a Lumberjack and It's Okay?
Yep.
Sing some of that for us.
I can't. I have to have the CD.
Doesn't do acapella.
Why don't you put the CD on?
I don't have it with me.
That won't take too long.
Well, all right, Tom.
Can I go to Florida with you all?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Maybe.
No.
Yes.
How do you spell Tampa Bay?
T-A-M-P-B-A-Y.
Perfect.
Hey, pretty good. Tampa. So close. How do you spell Super Bowl?
Super S-A-T-E-R. B-A-L-L.
Perfect.
And really now...
Super Bowl.
This is what I do mean, Tom.
What?
I promise. If you can give me the Roman numerals for 35, we'll bring you with us to Tampa Bay.
Uh-oh.
Like what? What is it again?
If you can give us the Roman numerals for Super Bowl 35, we'll bring you to Tampa Bay with us.
Can you play it for me?
No, Tom, this is not a joke. But very seriously, right now, I'm going to give you 15 seconds.
Can I listen to it first?
No, it's nothing. Tom, it's a question.
Okay.
If you can tell us how they spell 35 in Roman numerals since the Super Bowl 35, I promise we will take you with us to Tampa Bay.
All right.
Ready? Your 15 seconds starts now. No, just 35. How do you spell 35?
My money's on Gavin.
In Roman numerals.
D-H-E-E-N-F-I-V-E.
Tom, I'm...
Vaheen 5.
Tom, I'm sorry. The answer is X-X.
XXV.
Oh.
X- Tom spelled Vaheen 5. V-H-E-E-N-F-I-V-E.
I am sorry,
Tom. Oh. Close.
Not to be confused with Sapperball and Oifderen.
Tom, I'll give you another shot.
All right.
For a trip to the Super Bowl, correctly spell Belichick. Coach of the Ravens.
Bill, P-H-I-C-H-A-C-K.
Cack.
God bless you.
Tom, can you spell Trent Dilfer?
Trent Dilfer?
Trent Dilfer.
Dilfer, he is the quarterback of the Ravens.
S-A-V-E-R. S-A-V-E-N.
Saber, saver.
Okay. Now, I can't offer you a trip to the Super Bowl, but I can promise you I will buy you a Super Bowl sweatshirt if you can correctly spell New York.
N-O-K. N-E-W-Y-O-R-K.
He did it.
He gets him the sweatshirt.
Tom Gavin has successfully spelled New York. Way to go, Tom.
Tom, I promise I will get you a Super Bowl sweatshirt.
A Super Bowl sweatshirt.
Absolutely. That's a promise, Tom.
Size small.
It's going to be extra large.
Oh, you got it, Tommy. Okay, we got to go.
Right.
If anybody's out there listening, go to the Buzz with the news.
Yes, it's time to go to Buzz.
With the news, that's quarter of seven.
Yeah, hold on a second. You can bring him in here, Tommy. Hold on.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz
me. He made it up.
All right, Tom, ask him what the lead is.
Hey, Bud. Hey, Buzz.
Yes, Tom.
What's the lead of the news today?
I'm so glad you asked. Tonight's top story, President Clinton's brush with cancer.
Clinton is brushed with cancer?
That's
yes,
correct. That's the top
right.
story.
And the top story is it's going to be a madhouse down D.C. Friday and Saturday. Do not go near there because they're going to have, like, a lot of security. And Friday afternoon is going to be Ricky Martin on stage.
He's right, you know.
That's right.
He has actually changed your lead story, Buzz.
That's our official inaugural reporter.
Good job.
All right, Tom, thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Right.
Good job, Tommy. Tom Gavin.
There he goes.
If you want to know about the inauguration, you check in with Tom Gavin.
Everybody, please stay tuned now.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, Buzz coming up next. Mike, that was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, come on, Joe here. Homosexual Joseph, you have shown me something.
HomoJoe.com.
Homo Joe, it's 2001. Time to show me more.
With Mr. Condon.
Don and Mike, live at the Super Bowl next Friday. They will show you something.
Yep.
Look at you. Look at you. You're so sexy. I'm getting a woody just looking at you.
Under the direction of Andrew Blake, it's the Don and Mike Show.
And now, here's the crazy world of Buzz Burbank.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, NBC is out with its plans for fighting Survivor during the February ratings period. CBS will air Survivor Thursday nights at 8, opposite the first hour of NBC's must-see TV. So, for a month, that'll put Survivor on against Friends, and here's how NBC plans to deal with that.
Stupid plan. I know we talked about it earlier, but I'm glad you brought it up again.
Oh, yeah, it's worth repeating. Yeah, obviously. They'll add an extra 10 minutes to Friends, making that show run until 8:40. It can't be a crucial 10 minutes, by the way, since that extra footage would have to be cut out for syndication.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
The remaining 20 minutes of the hour will be filled with live sketches from the cast of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, hey, more funny. More Will Ferrell.
There's good viewing. These are still the good old days for Regis Philbin. He just knocked Oprah Winfrey out of the top spot in Electronic Media Magazine's annual list of the most bankable syndicator.
He just said he just knocked Oprah. I thought you were going to say something else.
No, not up.
No. Oprah, you're pregnant?
So Millionaire had nothing to do with it. This is all about his morning talk show, where the ratings, by the way, are up 15% since Kathy Lee left.
I watched it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so funny. They dressed him up in the wife beater shirt. Right. They had him trying to do yoga. Hey, look at my arm. And it was the point of the show where they're talking to the house brows, right, where they're asking the ridiculously easy questions, like, when Jeff Gordon was on the show last week, he mentioned that he's going to be running in the first NASCAR event of the year. That is a race that is held in Florida. You're right. It's the Daytona 500. Could you tell us the name of the race? Well, the woman on the phone couldn't tell them the name of the race, so they went to the next one. And it was a lady from Toronto. And Reed just says, hi, let's say hi to Carrie Spiewak from Toronto. And the first thing she says is, hi, Reed, just... Kathy Lee was just up here. She really loved it up here.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And it was obvious that he was flustered.
Yeah.
He said, well, of course, why wouldn't she like Toronto?
You know they got to go,
oh, F, who let that call through?
Right.
Can't we pre-screen these bitches? For the love of God, gentlemen, did you hear that? A commercial for Kathy Lee. Oh, that's the...
Well, on this subject, Oprah is now in second place, but just barely, followed by Kevin Sorbo of Andromeda. Judge Judy is in third, followed by Jerry Seinfeld, Pamela Anderson, Pat Sajak, Ray Romano, The Rock, and Bart Simpson.
What is this list?
These are the most bankable syndicators in terms of television programs.
Where's John O'Hurley on that list?
He didn't make the list.
He didn't make the list.
Not this year. It's too early.
50.
Rosie O'Donnell and Jerry Springer didn't make the list of the top 10 either. Now, these are not the good old days for Kathy Lee Gifford, as you might imagine. On one hand, she says she's upset. They won't let her promote her CD on the show she wants shared with Regis.
You know, a show is struggling. Speaking of John O'Hurley, when they have to go to the little medieval times dinner theater to get their guests. Did you see that one the other night?
To tell the truth?
Tell the truth, where they had that. I'm a knight of the round table. I'm a knight of the round table. I swear to God, that's what... Every night I entertain people. Yes, as they eat their chicken and I joust.
That's the same old show. Gifford tells The View, however, and by the way, they won't even let Kathy Lee buy time, as we've mentioned before on the Regis show. But Gifford tells The View that the people who made the decision to ban her are, and I quote, mean-spirited, cruel, vicious, and petty, end quote.
Yeah, look in the mirror, honey.
She says she won't let it upset her, though, because she doesn't want to make herself sick.
Right. Hold on.
I thought you had one of your bitches in here.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Spread the truth! Don't set you free!
Proudly, down to only 2 herpes pills a day.
Well,
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
He was a hassle, man.
Oh, big asshole.
Don and Mike. A lot of folks still shocked from the weekend news that Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger are calling it quits.
Hey, the Inquirer was right.
They've been married 7 years. They have a 5-year-old daughter. They blame irreconcilable differences. He's 47, she's 42.
I made love with her, Oscar.
Alec, you know, what's the deal dumping Kim Basinger? I mean, what do you think you are? You have a God complex?
I am God.
You are God.
I took her Oscar statuette.
What'd you do with it?
I inserted it in her.
You did? With the Oscar?
First, Oscar's head would disappear. Then his shoulders. Then his torso.
All the way down to the base?
And eventually, she could take all of Oscar. The base and all.
Maybe that's why you're divorced.
Comedy Central won't be running the Porn for Kids segment in its TV Funhouse show anymore.
That's too bad, Buzz.
The show put together by the same guy who did Triumph the Insult Comic Dog for Conan O'Brien. In the segment that Comedy Central yanked from the show, the words Porn for Kids appeared on screen in colorful kid-style lettering, superimposed over children playing in a field. That was followed by the non-X-rated scenes from a 1970s adult film with the sounds of children laughing in the background. Exactly.
But it's not for kids, so what?
I know.
It's funny. It's not directed at kids.
Show's rated MA. No kids should be watching.
Right, exactly.
But by the time the show ran again over the weekend, that bit had been changed to Porn for Everyone, which isn't nearly as funny. Comedy Central has no comment.
Okay.
Late night talk show Bill Maher's taken a lot of heat for something he said on last Thursday's Politically Incorrect.
He compared retarded children with dogs, describing both as sweet, loving, and kind, but that they don't mentally advance at all.
Valid statement.
ABC has no comment.
God.
But the head of an international group dedicated to better opportunities for developmentally disabled people plans to demand an apology and a promise that Marr, quote, won't go down this road again. Marr's guest jumped all over him on the spot. One,
and one of the guests is quirky.
That's right, Chris Burke. One of the guests challenged his use of the word retarded and reminded him they have a heart and soul. Another said she has a nephew who's retarded, but that she never thought of him as a little dog. Well, said Marr, maybe you should.
And you know what? Listen, not to defend Bill Maher, who I think is a prick.
Right.
But the name of the show is
Politically Incorrect.
Absolutely.
What a bucket card.
Some guys are wearing some unusual things in their jeans these days, like plastic Easter eggs and heavy-duty elastic bands. They're trying to develop what the doctor took away when they were babies. Experts say several thousand American men are trying to restore their foreskin.
Oh, God knows I am.
The men.
What the hell? I haven't heard anything about this. What the hell is this about?
The men attach these contraptions to their private parts, hoping to stretch the skin they have.
Yes, we do.
These devices have a name. They're called huggers.
Yes.
A doctor at the actual Johns Hopkins University Hospital says the results are probably more psychological than physical, but he says the devices are not dangerous so long as they don't affect blood flow or cause pain.
And Buzz, my skin is so much more.
Uh-huh.
I have a 5-skin.
Wow.
Not a 4-skin. I got a 5-skin. And our brand new spokesman is Tug McGraw.
The Tugger.
The Tug Man.
The man from Tugstinia. It's not looking.
Yeah, Tug Mo's a wrestling. Hey, Buzz, we only got time for one more.
Okay, let's make it. Do you want to hear the Arrow story again, or would you like something fresh? I'll give you a choice.
Oh, the Arrow story we already did?
Yeah.
Nah,
okay.
Something fresh.
Something fresh it is. It's not looking good for the new game show Who Wants to Date a Hooters Girl. The producers are having no trouble finding male contestants, but they are having trouble finding TV stations to run the thing. For one thing, there are 4 other new syndicated dating shows being prepared for this fall, and none of the others are tied in with a restaurant. In the show, 6 guys...
It's not just a restaurant, Buzz, it's Hooters.
That's right. And in the show, and it would be a show if they can pull this off, in it, 6 guys are chosen from an audience of 100, and then 2 of them compete in what's called the baseball round. By answering questions correctly, the guys take the Hooters girl to first base and then second and so on. Producers call the show delightfully tacky.
And then at the end, he gets his tuggers.
Yet unrefined.
I get it. And we thank you, Buzz.
You're right.
And if the guy's nipple starts to bleed.
Yeah, right now.
Uncontrollably.
Right now.
Right now, we're so. Buzz, thank you.
Time
for a call 100. Mike, you're doing it.
I can't stop.
You're manipulating your nipple.
Maybe that's how I started it.
Call 100, phone number 877.
Welcome to my world.
365-3636. Be the 100th caller now. We got something for you. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Just remember what your old pal Bozo always says. Just keep laughing.
Wearing their game day attire, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And Buzz, I know we're almost done. We got to get out of here. But I do have to break in for a second here.
A bullet
with equal time.
All right.
I was just trying to make my way to the men's room when a guy was out in the lobby, and he looked at me and he said, I'm looking for Don. I said, yeah, hi, it's me.
Right.
And he said, I'm the manager of Best Buy.
Hey, the manager stopped by
and brought me a letter. Dear Don, Best Buy, blah, 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 courteous to accommodating services. I was upset to hear about your experience at my location on Saturday night. So this must be the guy from my Best Buy.
Well, good.
We worked hard to ensure that our customers enjoy loyalty every time they shop. Due to the fact I'm a huge listener of your show, this goes back to pre-WJFK, I happen to be listening when you told of your experience. We understand that getting the customers through the registers quickly increases the shopping experience. Don, I hope in the future you'll continue to shop our location in Reston. On your next visit, I hope you will contact me prior to your arrival.
There you go. He'll walk right. All the way through the store.
Right. That's going to happen.
It's all ahead.
My cell phone number is... Call me if you have any questions. I'll personally ensure that any questions you have might be answered. Thanks again for being a customer at our resident location. I hope to make your next shopping experience as great next time as the 12 or so years of listening to the show has been.
Hey, well, good for him.
That's nice. Please accept my apology on behalf of Best Buy for any inconvenience and frustration you may have experienced as a result of your concern. And the guy's name is Steve Martin.
But that, here's the moment. This is the moment of truth right now, because I think it's very nice that he wrote that letter. So the question is, Don, will you accept this apology?
Yes.
Very beautiful.
Yes,
beautiful.
I do.
I love a happy.
However, I ain't going to call the guy up.
I can understand.
I mean, I'm not going to call him and go, hey, I'm coming over to get the new Ricky Martin CD.
Right.
I'll meet you at the front door at 12 noon. I'm not going to do it, but I did bust their balls, and Steve, who runs the rest of the store.
Pretty tight operation when they can get that kind of a turnaround with a response. That's
thanks.
Good.
Yeah. Much appreciated.
A lot,
Rob?
A lot of guys wouldn't do
Rob,
that.
Rob, make sure you give that to Lime One.
I sure will.
Just in case Best Buy wants to cancel the account.
Exhibit okay. A.
There you go. All right. Steve, thank you. Much appreciated.
Good job.
Thanks, Steve.
You know, and next time you really want to make it right, throw a gift certificate on one. That's all I'm saying.
In sports, the Baltimore Ravens are finally getting some respect, and they're not sure they like it. The Ravens are considered 3-point favorites to beat the Giants in the Super Bowl, but the players say they'd like to milk the nobody thinks we're good thing a little longer. Defensive end Rob Burnett says he hoped everybody picked the Giants to win. He says that'd make a Baltimore victory all the sweeter. The man who was defensive coordinator for the Redskins will now do that job for the Broncos. Ray Rhodes replaces Greg Robinson, who was fired after the Broncos' defense finished 24th in the league this season. Yesterday, Robinson was hired by the Kansas City Chiefs to be their defensive coordinator.
Hey, Mike, I've got to ask you, you've heard about the latest details with your man Schottenheimer.
Yes.
He hired Jimmy Ray
right.
as offensive coordinator from Kansas City.
Right.
Their offense sucks.
Mm-hmm.
He's hiring his brother to be coach of the defense, and he's hiring his son to be the quarterback's coach.
Redskins next year go 5-0 in their first five games.
Print it.
Take it upstairs to the fat man. Also, Richard Mann was hired today to be the wide receivers coach. He also comes from Kansas City.
Amazing, though, he's not related to Marty Schottenheimer.
Amazingly, no.
Now, you said, who was the guy that, Billy Ray? Jimmy Ray.
Jimmy Ray Schottenheimer?
Jimmy Ray. No,
No.
He's not related.
That's his whole name, Jimmy Ray.
He's the dork who ran the Kansas City offense the last 7 years, which sucked. And then he hired his son to be the quarterback coach.
Brian.
And he's going to hire his brother to be the defensive coordinator.
I just want you to know that next, I'd say late October or so, I'll welcome you into the Marty Party. Because the Marty Party starts for me. It started for me the first time I saw him on television talking about how happy he was to be the Redskins head coach. It's going to be a Marty Party in the O'Meara household. Finally, from our dimmest bulb in the box department in St. Louis, police arrested a man who apparently dropped his drawers in the middle of the crowded county courthouse. The man did this so he could make photocopies of his buttocks. He said it was a practical joke for his girlfriend. People all around when he did this. When police nabbed the 38-year-old, he was on his third copy while holding the first two copies in his hand.
Well, I sent this to the island. They'll let me come down there and be tempted.
As they took him away, he shouted, "What did I do? What did I do?"
Hello.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. No! Hello! That's it. Got to go.
Right.
Hey, DC, thanks again for those fantastic number one Arbitron ratings.
Thanks to the people in Washington.
We won't forget you. Big, big, big. Make a style show. Coming soon. Next summer. Yeah. If they F that up, we're just going to have one night. We're going to go to a bar and invite everybody.
We'll have one at our house.
Yeah. That's it. We got to go. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Yep.
Don and Mike, I am the 100th caller.
Yes, you are. What's your name, my friend?
Tom.
Tommy, where are you from?
Woodbridge.
Woodbridge, VA. Tommy, you've won a pair of upfront tickets to Raw is War. Do you like the wrestling?
Sounds good.
See over 40 of your favorite WWF superstars
alike
live at MCI Center March 5th. You know, a lot of people would kill for these tickets. There are, there's a segment of our audience who go mental over these.
Yeah,
this is the second winner today where they're going, eh.
No, I'll enjoy it.
That's all right. Hey, that's okay. We all love wrestling. You don't. That's okay. Tickets go on sale Saturday, 12 noon, through Ticketmaster. Well, listen, obviously you're not thrilled with that. Let me give you a break.
Can I have them, Don?
No, I'll take them. Thank
you. Let me give you a great prize to go along with.
All right.
A Jackson Hewitt tax kit.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Sounds
Jackson,
great.
Jackson Hewitt will work hard to get exactly what you want. Every dollar you deserve, call 1-800-234.
I have a Jackson Weaver.
1040 today for the Jackson Hewitt in your neighborhood. Thank you, and hold on just a moment.
Thank you.
We will see you tomorrow with the all-new episode.
Jackson.
That's it. We've got to go. Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Bob.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
That is Jackson. Thank you. Robbie, please throw your beret in the air. Just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might make it after all.
Ah! What was that?
Would your bloody nipple get in the way?
No, I was trying to listen. All right,
we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Till we meet again, Sammy Davis, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.